15 years ago, a San Diego teen took exception to graphic imagery in DDR Solo 2000, and 15 years later, Orange Lounge Radio episode 691 airs. Thank you for joining us on this journey, and stay tuned as it continues right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It's Orange Lounge Radio live tonight. Episode number 691 for this June 18th of 2017. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me, as she has for the past 15 years, say hello to Dark Soccer or Jamie Summers.
I'm so congenial, Rob.
Are you?
Yes.
No, you're just fan favorite. You probably are the fan favorite of the show, actually.
Bullshit.
No, you know what? It's Techmaster Loki. He's the fan favorite. Hi, Loki.
Hello.
How are you?
Speaking of fan, it's pretty hot in here.
It is. I know. I'm sorry. We have the fan going. It's why I had all the lights off before OLR, but it's getting hot with all of us in studio and so forth. So
yeah.
The good news is it should cool down
as
things
are
going.
In the garage.
It isn't. No, this show was in the garage at one point. It was an insulated garage, so it was supposed to be a little better. It was in the colder months, it was probably a lot better.
Yeah.
But in the warmer months, it was pretty it was something. So anyway, we're here. We're joined with you guys over at our chat room over at VogNetwork.com, the Voice of Geeks Network, where we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Black Wolf Show, live.VogNetwork.com. If you want to join us in our chat room, where folks are being very nice and saying a lot of nice things about the show and the fact that we're turning 15 years old tonight. That's right. Our very first episode, I guess we're a little bit early. Our first episode was June 23rd of 2002. But you know what? Close enough. Close enough, damn it. Especially with the fact that, you know, I'm going out of town this upcoming weekend. So it had to be tonight or it would be really late. So close enough. 15-year celebration here. And, you know, right off the bat, just, you know, thanks you guys for being here. Whether you've been here for 15 minutes, this is your first OLR episode. Interesting night you picked to join OLR. But whether you're here for 15 minutes or 15 years, thank you for being a part of it. You know, I don't know if we would have made it this long without a lot of the encouragement that you guys have brought us over the years. Speaking of encouragement and fans and so forth, we're joined here in studio tonight by one of our longtime listeners, and it's a pleasure to have her here all the way from St. Louis. Say hello, everybody, to Misty here in studio.
I now have 4 different games registered to my eMuse card. It's Rob's fault.
Yeah, that's right. Traveling around playing music games, which is how this show all started, right? And that's how you found this show, was because of your love of music games, right?
Yep.
That's right. Any, because, you know, I barely remember what happened last week on this show, Misty. Is there any particular memory over the 15 years of the show that you remember, like a moment that was like one of your favorites?
Not offhand that I haven't mentioned in the past, like episode 69.
Yes, there was episode 69. Was a little bit infamous. For those that weren't here, we played Karaoke Revolution live on, because if you think this show is a mess now, you should see some of the early episodes. And they're out there, by the way, on the internet. If you know where to look, and if you don't know where to look, ask a guy named Dark Tetsuya who's wearing a trench coat around the corner. He'll sell you some old, for free, some old OLR episodes that are posted around up there. And I don't know if episode 69 is in the archive, but I imagine it has to be. And we were playing Karaoke Revolution live, and Loki turned in one of the greatest renditions of all time.
I didn't want to play the game.
But you did, and that's what made it funny. That's what made it funny. So, all right. And some other folks in chat, very nice. Dungeon Buster saying, yay, here's to another 15. Mommy Blackwell says, Rob thinks DT gives away old episodes for free. That's cute. You're adorable. You have almost, Misty, don't you have almost like every episode? I remember one of the times you were here, you like raided all my drives, and I think you like stole every MP3 I had of, oh my gosh, do you wear that around your neck?
Not usually. I just took advantage of the fact that I got a new computer recently to also make sure I had a good portable backup copy.
That also kind of creeps me out that the 15-year history of this show fits on a fucking thumb drive.
Well, they have ginormous amounts of space.
That's true. I know they do. It's just crazy, crazy for me. So anyway, I'm not to get too sappy here, and I know we didn't plan like fireworks and stuff because we have E3 to get to. I mean, this all falls during E3 week. We've got to talk about what's going on in gaming because that's what we're here to do. And we didn't plan a lot of fireworks for tonight because, you know, I don't know, after celebrating 5 years, then 10 years, then 600, then 500, it's kind of like you kind of go, well, what's there left to do but do what people tune in every week to hear? So I know we don't have a lot of fanfare tonight, but, you know, just again, I just want to say a big thank you for me, not just to my co-host. I mean, I think I said this in a Facebook post earlier on social media, but not everybody could do one thing over and over and over again every week for 15 years. That takes an extraordinary amount of discipline, and that's not something I certainly by any means can take sole credit for. I mean, Dark Soccer and Loki have been committed to this from the very beginning. Loki, when he wasn't even invited in the very beginning. But obviously, we've retconned him back to a full host since episode one. But yeah, I mean, like, thank you guys for being here every week, because truly this show would not have lasted without that sort of discipline that it takes from everybody, not just one of us. So, but also, you know, again, thanks to listeners for making this possible. I don't want to give too many specific thank yous because I'm always afraid that I'm going to leave somebody out. So I'm just going to give a very, very, very broad thanks. But I do want to just call out just a couple few things that I think have to be called out for. Like, this would not have happened if not for these folks. And then if Dark Soccer or Loki want to add anything, by all means. But I would say we have to, of course, say thank you to Travis Donovan from Understation Live. Mostly because I would get an Instagram if I didn't call him out. No, just kidding. But the fact that Travis really opened my eyes and Jamie's eyes from being the longtime guest host she was on that show to the fact that this was even possible. Like, I didn't even know that this was an outlet until Travis kind of opened that door for me. So for that, I'm incredibly thankful, even though I know he's very bitter the show is still going. I say that with love. And I'm hoping he does come back soon.
I function on the bitter tears of those who would stand against me. So
I don't think Travis stands against
Travis
us.
No, Travis doesn't. But there have been some mouthy dudes out there.
Yeah, there have.
Guess what?
Has anything ever been mansplained to you, Dark Sakura?
Oh, all the fucking time. But you know what? I have to say to all of them in a glorious, operatic voice, fuck you.
So one of my good friends, I consider him a good friend. He was on a TV show here called Big Brother like 7 years ago. And he was not portrayed very well on the show. He was a bit of a villain on the show. And I stole this saying from him, and I love it. And Dark Soccer, I know this applies to you too. Haters are my motivators.
I can dig with that.
I think that's something I've took from his. That's my Ronnie from season 11. If anybody watches that show, he gave me that phrase once, and I've held on to that for a long time, especially in the past few years.
But trust me, I drink cupfuls of salty tears on a daily basis, and baby, they ain't mine.
I also have to say thank you. This is so important. You guys know him as the voiceover guy here on the show, but Jason, VXJSnakesV, like, literally this show would not have a place to be if it wasn't for Jason. Jason has been the master of the technical side of things and ensuring that I don't think he was here in the very, very, very beginning, but he came on like pretty quick and to help us out and to have a website to even have this and our vast, weighty MP3 library that bared the weight of when iTunes launched podcasting for the very first time and we were one of the video game shows on it back when there were only like 20 video game shows on iTunes, if you can even remember such a day at this point. Jason has made sure that this site ran through all of it. All of it. And anytime I've ever had a concern, even if I haven't taken a minute to ask Jason, like, you know, like, how are things, you know, in the past few months? But I'm like, Jason, the website's broken. Nobody can download anything. Like, he's on it and he fixes it. So, like, I really can't stress that enough that you guys don't hear him all the time. Although there was a period of time he was coming to this show a lot because his work had him out here. But I really can't stress enough that, like, this show, you wouldn't even fucking hear it if it wasn't for Jason. So that is so important. And from a technical perspective, also, Deke Man, I have to also certainly give him a nod because that – even though the website, our main website's a little bit old, it is all because, you know, Deke Man had a huge hand in the design of that, and we still use that to this day. So for that, we're thankful. And then probably the only other, like, big, big thank you I have to give here at the top is, of course, to Bobby Blackwolf, who is, you know, the voice you hear at Vogue Network, has been a business partner in Vogue Network, has saved this show from going off the air when we had to leave Live 365 because the fees were getting too out of control, and really brokered the deal between us and All Games Radio, which was a very important period in the history of this show. And I know, you know, I know we ended up making a decision to leave that network to do what we're doing at Vogue Network, but I have nothing but great things to say about All Games and our years there and their hopeful continued success over there. And, you know, we are on E3 week, and seriously, and I say this all the time, the best E3 ever was that year when, like, all the All Games broadcasters were there, and there was that freaking arena, and you remember that in Santa Monica, yeah. We were walking, and it was just, it was off the hook, and that was stuff that our relationship with All Games provided us over those years. So that's very important. So a big thank you. Again, I don't want to leave anybody out, so I'm sure I'm leaving millions of people out with this.
I'd like,
but those are just some of the most important ones.
My drag mother, the Virgin de Guadalupe. No.
Loki, Dark Soccer, anything that I forgot that are worth saying?
I'd like to thank the members of the gay frat house that I slept in during episode
she's not even kidding. She's not even kidding whatsoever.
I slept in the Harry Potter room of the gay frat house in San Diego. And that was like, what, episode 3?
It was. It was early on. Speaking of All Games, I just noticed in chat over Derek H. just joined us. Our old pal from All Games says, congrats to OLR for making it to a place few shows could even dream of. Thank you, Derek. That means an awful lot.
Thank you.
Although I must feel in a way that I said, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. But no, all in God, it's fantastic to see you here, Derek. Thank you so much. Looking at some other comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Ragenator says, I remember that OLR's first live episode on All Games was the first one that I was able to listen to live. That is awesome. Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, Q's Wind Beneath My Wings. No, we're not going to go. We're not going to go that cheesy. But if we were to sing it, Loki would sing it. Just
no,
so we're clear. I'm just
I
kidding.
Would not.
But don't we want it to sound half decent?
True, that is true.
Exactly. So I would probably be stuck with it.
Did you ever know I fucking hate you? I think it would
please,
go something like that.
That was like episode 69 verse, you know, level of effort. Now that bar is way down there. It's like Nintendo and online down there.
Wait, we had a bar?
Wait, there was a bar on the show?
Oh, all right. There was a bar on the show.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. I will have the phone lines open in part B. We actually cut a few stories out later in the show. I want to be able to take plenty of phone calls and talk more about memories over 15 years. Well, let me actually, before we go into E3 chat, I think this is an important thing to talk about when we're talking about 15 years of OLR, and realize that I'm putting my co-host Ann Misty on the spot if she wants to join in, and you guys in our chat as well over at live.vognetwork.com. We've been doing this since 2002. That's a very long time. I know I asked a similar question to this when we celebrated 10 years of OLR, but I'm curious if anybody's answers may have shifted or changed based on our perspective now versus what it would have been in 2012. In 15 years of observing video games and gaming culture, what do you think has had the biggest change on video games as we know it? What do you think has been the most important thing in our industry in 15 years? Dark Sakura?
The internet.
The internet was here 15 years ago, though, right?
But social media has more taken off mm-hmm. over the course of the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. And as we've seen, you know, having a direct line to game developers, to people who, you know, even upper management at some of these games, and having interaction with them, mm-hmm. it's actually, I think, changed a lot of the dynamic with how people... with how they get feedback from fans, especially now adding Kickstarter to everything. Mm. So I'd more put it for social media and the social aspect of it.
You piggybacking on that a little bit, if you don't mind, the social kind of aspect to me kind of extends into when we look at things like Twitch TV and what YouTube and Mixer and all that's been bringing to the table too, is a very social element. It might not be social media in the same Facebook and Twitter type sense, but definitely that has been transformative as well. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, good answer. Loki, anything you would say over 15 years?
Yeah, the constant greed from publishers and developers, mostly publishers.
What do you mean by that?
Because they fucked up things with online passes. They fucked up things with microtransactions. They fucked up things with, hey, we think we're going to drive this franchise into the ground because it needs a million releases so that we can, you know, make our investors happy. So yes, publishers.
I see. So publishers ruining everything.
Yes.
Okay. Actually, that's not a bad answer. My answer would be probably simply Xbox Live, and not solely necessarily Xbox Live, but I guess it's kind of just a more narrow version of what Jamie really said, because honestly, I kind of go along with Jamie's answer as well, but I feel like Xbox Live is really the thing that ironically killed the environment where this show started. You know, if you recall, I've told this story a million times, but I'll tell it one more time. OLR started because we all played an arcade game together that we had a lot of fun playing and that really had a community. So we all got together every week and we played DDR, and then we would go, you know, out to eat. DDR followed by mozzarella sticks, because not that things made sense 15 years ago, but they did. You know, we would go play DDR, then we would go eat, and we would sit around.
That's fine.
And we would
talk Then we were doing enough cardio to right, be able to burn that stuff off. That was no big deal.
Now it's just mozzarella stick. But all that joking aside, I mean, I feel like Xbox Live and that whole gaming through all of that kind of murdered the arcades for a good long time, and only just now are we starting to see some of that come back through, you know, round one and some of these things that we have a little more locally, where the arcade scene is kind of building again. And a lot of that is because of the ideas that they're taking from mobile gaming, which would definitely be in my like top five. What are the big things that have happened in the past 15 years are the fact that everybody is a fucking gamer now because cell phones and things like Farmville and Bejeweled that even, you know, your parents play and all that stuff. So, yeah, but I think Xbox Live in particular really did a lot of damage to the arcade scene. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing. It's just an evolution, but it was certainly transformative to where we are now. Going in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Dart Tetsuya in chat says, I agree with Loki. That all but killed everything that wasn't Guitar Hero. I never got to play DJ Hero, but it looked like a fun game. So it would have been cool to see a reboot of that or something. YYR says, definitely the internet changed gaming. Directly, online play, and indirectly, social media, community streaming, hate speech, you name it. Ragenator says, I miss arcades, sniff. Free Kill Zero in chat pointing out Dreamcast had online gaming, yes, but Xbox Live integrated voice chat as part of the service. Absolutely. It kind of pushed it to the next level. And I think even a lot of us look back at the Dreamcast and go, it was a system that was ahead of its time in many ways.
I know. It's so crazy that Xbox Live had integrated voice chat. You know, but not like a modern company nowadays that has a modern system can't integrate voice chat into theirs. Right. But
calm,
you know.
Calm that hate boner down, Loki. Jesus. Let's see. Other comments over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDev says independent development for games. That's a very good point now, too, is that things like Steam, iTunes, and Google Play, you know, they've allowed more indie developers to really get out there. I mean, sure. There's always been a place for indie developers, and you could design something that back in the day we used to go onto a BBS and download, but it's different now. Like things like PlayStation, Xbox, even Nintendo are opened up so that more indie developers can get on the store, and you can, you know, download things right next to things like Mario and, you know, Ridge Racer and all these other, you know, big titles that are on the other platforms.
Yeah,
so
stupid Ridge Racer. Why won't they come back?
Maybe someday. And SSG 100 Matt, I'll do one more here, and then I want to move into what's going on this week. SSG 100 Matt in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says World of Warcraft is up there too. Granted, it wasn't the first MMO, but it definitely catapulted online and MMOs to mainstream. Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that. World of Warcraft, it wasn't the first MMO, but it was a fucking massive MMO and has changed many things. Fuck, Dark Soccer still plays it pretty regularly, if I'm not mistaken.
Not so much these days.
I mean, like, EverQuest wasn't, you would wouldn't consider, like, EverQuest 2 or something like that?
Well, like I said, WoW wasn't the first MMO.
Right.
But it was massive. And EverQuest, you know, is kind of right up there. EverQuest did a lot as well, but, you know, something about the way Blizzard does it, and, you know, we've said this before on the show, Blizzard has a great way to take a game like EverQuest and make it more accessible. But EverQuest was a lot like Final Fantasy XI, because Final Fantasy XI was really inspired by EverQuest, where you had to kneel down to regenerate mana for quite some time, and a lot of transport took a very long time. So it's like World of Warcraft brought a lot of, like, quality of life, quote-unquote, improvements to the genre that I think allowed it to really catapult forward. But not to say that EverQuest wasn't important, because hell yeah, it was. So was Ultima Online. So was the MUDs of the, you know, older days on Telnet and all that, you know, all that stuff was the reason why World of Warcraft exists now. And now there's MMOs after it that World of Warcraft is evolving because of, you know, things like Guild Wars, Guild Wars 2, Final Fantasy 14, Elder Scrolls, and all these games, you know, even WoW takes some of its cues from at this point. So, you know, that whole genre has really been pushed forward. So, ActDeft brings up Pokemon Go. I mean, even though that's really recent, certainly that almost feels like kind of a litmus test for the future in some ways, especially with the fact that, you know, like I said, more and more people are gaming with phones in their pocket. You know, what Pokemon Go did was a very – it's a thing that we don't see very often in gaming. So anyhow, whew, lots of good answers, you guys. But let's talk about what's going on this week in games. Lots of news. E3. So last week on the show, we talked about Microsoft. We talked about EA a little bit as well. And so after the show happened, Bethesda's conference happened where they showed pretty much a lot of things we expected to see. And then they showed that Wolfenstein 2 kind of cut.
Yeah, cool. I expected that.
Yeah, and Evil Within 2, which I think a lot of people were expecting as well, which, you know, it was a lot of people were like, it's short. It was short.
It was only 30 minutes, but they showed off like...
It was longer than that, but it was still short.
Really?
It's like 45 or an hour, but still.
But yeah, then they showed off what else? So they kind of started off with, I want to say, was it the VR stuff, I think, that they started off with? I don't remember. But they did show off like Doom VFR. They had Fallout 4 VR, which they kind of showed. I mean, it's just...
Did they do Skyrim VR there, or was that
no,
they saved that,
that
for Sony?
Was
they
Sony.
Saved that for Sony. Okay,
that was Sony. So they did those two, and then they were showing off. I guess this is all going to be completely out of order. So they had the DLC for Dishonored 2 that they showed off. They had, of course, you know, the trailers for the other games. I know they ended with Wolfenstein. They showed off.
Let me ask, not to backtrack too much, but I have to ask this because I'm curious about this and the chatters as well. Do you want to play Fallout in VR?
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Huh?
I don't know.
What about Skyrim?
Skyrim looks fun in VR. I didn't see the trailer like originally. I mean, it looks all right. I'd just be curious to see how it actually moves around and plays, because like the trailer looks like, and this is the thing, like the trailers look like you kind of have free control of your character, which is fine, but then like the Doom one had like teleporting around. I really don't like VR that teleports around. I know the reason that they do that is because people get motion sick, but honestly, I'm not one of those people that gets motion sick from that. So
and there's folks in chat like Dr. Suya says I'd play Doom VR, and I kind of look at that and go, I would need a barf bag. Because Doom is a fast... I mean, maybe they make some adjustments, but Doom is a fast-moving game.
It's teleporting, though, so you can dash, I guess, in different directions, but it's all basically blinking from one spot to another, and that's what a lot of these VR games do.
Interesting.
And it's all right, but it's... Doom was such a fast-paced game that, like, it doesn't seem like you'd be able to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like the option to be able to just run around and stuff, and then, you know, if I don't want to do that, I can teleport. Maybe it's because of the control scheme, because you're using the Vive controllers, and so, you know, maybe there's not really analog sticks that can move you around like that. I know with Skyrim, they're saying one of the options you can play with the controller, so that'd be fine, too. If I'm playing just the controller and I can look around, man, I think that'd be pretty cool.
So after Bethesda, Monday morning,
hold on.
Sure.
There's still more stuff to talk about with Bethesda.
Okay.
Because, of course, they showed off... they didn't show off. Did they show Skyrim for the Switch during Bethesda, or was that during?
Yes, because that's when they announced. Oh, which ties into last week's show, by the way. Because I remember, no, because I tweeted you right away because we had just talked about it an hour before. That's when they showed in Skyrim. They had the Zelda stuff was in
the Amiibo support.
It was the Amiibo would unlock Link costume and the Master Sword. Which you fucking said on OLR. I had said the Temple of Time or something. They put a new dungeon in there. So I'd like to think I was close.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a good call. And to piggyback on what we were saying last week, I said, people are not going to buy Skyrim yet again if there's not something for them. And I said, if they want to appeal to the Nintendo fan base, put fucking Zelda stuff in there and the Nintendo fans will eat that up. And guess what was happening on Twitter? My Nintendo fanboys on Twitter were eating it up and were like, yeah, I'm going to get Skyrim. And I was like, see, that's how they're going to sell it on the Switch.
Anyways, but the thing, though, that I noticed that they were talking about is they're brand new. I forget what they're calling it now, but it's like a companion service that they have for Skyrim and for Fallout 4, where they're basically going to sell
selling mods.
Sell mods, because they've tried this bullshit before on Steam, and there's a huge fucking backlash for it. And so now they're doubling down and trying it again on, I would assume, on console and on the Steam version as well. So basically, this would allow creators to create mods that they're going to, supposedly, it's going to go through some sort of QA. Bethesda QA. That's peachy. So they're going to go through some QA process, and it's supposed to work with the DLC and stuff. But at the same time, it's basically like, you know, they're saying that, you know, Bethesda can sell stuff through this marketplace, and it's supposed to allow the trophies and everything to still work, but it's not going to get rid of the other mods that are free. But I just don't like it. I don't like it at all. It sours, you know, modding's been going on for a long time. People don't sell mods. People just make mods because they want to make mods. And now I just think this is not a good thing, because they're gonna fuck it up.
Here's my take on it, and some folks are gonna strongly disagree with me, and that's okay. But I have moved the fuck on from Skyrim. Like that's cool that they can mod it and all this stuff, but I'm done with Skyrim.
Right,
we're done.
Right, you're done with Skyrim. Fallout 4 is relatively new, but if this shit's gonna work right now, you better believe that whenever the next Elder Scrolls game comes out, they're gonna do that shit
again.
That's
fair. All right, let's move on. For time's sake, though, the only reason I was trying to get us past this is for time. That's okay. So, quickly, the PC gaming thing, I don't think there was a lot of big... The Age of Empires
They were trying thing. To push, like, there's, like, some VR game that they're trying to push as an eSport that looks just like Ender's Game. I mean, it's all right. I mean, I don't know. VR and eSports, that's a hard mix, but...
Oh, Ni No Kuni on PC, that caught my ear, too. Because I was not expecting that to go to PC. That always struck me as a very, like, console-based thing. So that was surprising to me. Yeah. And then there was the Ubisoft, which, you know, pretty much...
Ubisoft had some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, and everybody's mainly talking about the Beyond Good and Evil 2, which, you know, that big reveal there that, yes, it's still coming.
Yes.
So...
The Rabbids Cross Mario game looks all right.
Well, that's an upgrade for you! It sold you a little bit on it.
No, it didn't sell me. It looks okay. Like, it's not the type of gameplay I want.
Doesn't that sound like an upgrade from where he was at last week, though? I think it does.
I never said it would sound terrible.
All right, fair enough.
Some of their other, like, VR games that they have coming out look okay. I'm trying to remember what it's called now, but, like, their new Toys to Life game looks like shit. It's like some space combat thing. Like, that is really weird. It's like it attaches to the controller. You have this stupid toy spaceship on your controller. It just seems really awkward and strange. But they've got that. You know, obviously, the new Far Cry game looks awesome. I'm trying to think. I didn't really care about the Pirates game. I don't care about Assassin's Creed with my UAV Eagle or whatever it was. What else? I don't remember everything else that they had. I know that they had a new The Crew game, which, I don't know, that's all right, I guess. But I think out of everything, like, they had a pretty impressive lineup of games, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of people were very pleased with Ubisoft. And again, I have not been calling on Darksoccer or Misty because I don't think they watch these things. But please, please, by all means, jump in if you have something to say on this stuff.
Okay.
Okay. I still want to dominate the conversation with you two here. So, let's see. Also, after Ubisoft, let's talk about Sony. So let's spend a little time on Sony, because obviously that's one of the bigger ones.
Sony, I tried to watch live, but I was at the park with my kids. And so I ate through my data plan pretty fast. So I missed a few things, but I did see some of it. So it was pretty much like I anticipated, that it was going to be just, we're showing new trailers for games we've already announced. And to be honest, the whole, like, Shadow of the Colossus thing, that had already been leaked out that it was coming as an announcement, so I wasn't all that surprised by it. I mean, it looks cool, but that's, like, the second time they've remade that game already.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I wasn't expecting that. I didn't pick up on the leak thing, but I was kind of like, oh, all right, cool, yeah. Huh.
So I mean,
it
now,
is
like,
a good. It is a good game, but yeah, it just they did remaster it just like, the last time. Yeah,
but then they have like I guess new trailers. And my whole thing was like I wanted to see what they were going to do with you know PlayStation VR, and I kind of missed some of that. And the Skyrim thing sounds kind of cool. I'd be definitely willing to check it out.
There was a game called Moss that kind of caught me
right.
on VR.
I mean, I don't know. It's okay. I heard Super Hot's coming to. The PlayStation VR,
yeah,
I think
that
so
was
that
too.
I'm interested in because that looks awesome on PC, the VR version. So I'd want to check that out. You know, they showed off you know the new new trailers for that zombie game that they had. Days Gone. Yeah, it looked okay. I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of a generic. There's a lot of games that they have coming that I just don't care about. That's
you know
problem.
What? And honestly, like here's the thing. I had a very tepid reaction to Sony's conference. I was like, okay, but there was still a part of me that was kind of like, that's it. Like here's the thing for me is that Sony started like I don't know if you saw anything in that hour before the press conference.
No,
but I feel like some of the best shit was before the press conference even started. So. When they announced Undertale is coming to PlayStation 4 and Vita, I was like, okay, if they're announcing this before the conference even begins, what kind of fucking whopper are they about to drop on us? And then when that whopper didn't come, I was like, oh, okay.
Well, here's the thing, too. Like, they said that they're holding off on announcements for Gamescom. Like, they've got stuff that they're going to announce at Gamescom.
That's weird to me, to be honest.
It is kind of weird. But at the same time, like, I was disappointed that nothing was addressed about backwards compatibility. It's just like, whatever. There was no...
They don't care.
It would have been nice like to see some sort of price drops for like at least the PlayStation Pro or something. Would have been cool. I guess they had stuff on sale in the gold PlayStation 4 and stuff like that. But yeah, there wasn't really a whole ton of new announcements. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they just didn't show, and I'm assuming that's all going to be at Gamescom in a little bit. But yeah, I just kind of... And then on top of that, there wasn't really any big titles. Which one of these big titles is coming out this holiday? Because I couldn't figure out which one it was.
It is the Uncharted spinoff is the holiday one.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of why I think I ended up having a very tepid reaction to Sony. Like, I didn't hate it, but I know some other friends of mine, we were kind of getting into it a little bit because they were like, oh, it was awesome and all this stuff. And I was like, I guess maybe it's just because I'm not as into God of War as other people I know, and I really don't care about this Days Gone stuff. But I did feel like it was like a lot of updates. And to be fair to Sony, they've had some really killer E3 years. And not every year can be the... Final Fantasy VII Remake, thwack. Shenmue 3, thwack. Like, they can't all be that year where they, you know, whip it out and put it on the table. Like,
okay.
That would be unreasonable expectations.
Here's some of my expectations being horribly, or I'm being horribly disappointed by it. Final Fantasy XV's VR support. A fucking fishing game? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, one of the reasons I bought 15 is because, oh, the VR is going to be fucking sweet. And, you know, the game looks pretty sweet. I haven't gone back to play the game, but are you serious? Why even waste your time with a fucking fishing game? It's just so goddamn stupid. Nobody is getting excited about it. I mean, what is this, the fucking 90s and Sega Bass Fishing's coming out? Nobody fucking cares about a fishing game in Final Fantasy.
Dark Tatsuya in chat says, they've come a long way since that disaster in 2006. Nobody's going to fuck up that bad ever again. That's a given. Nobody. In the industry, and Nintendo didn't have a great year. It was that year or the year after. Nintendo
There was Microsoft that one year, so I mean,
yeah, that's true. So, but you know, we've come a long way from there. And I didn't hate Sony by any means, but it was one of those when it was done, I was left with polite clapping. It was a polite clap.
I was like, oh man, you know, I missed the end of the conference, and I went back and read. I'm like. Oh, okay.
You know what else needs to be addressed? Because I bet many people forget this, because this is the sort of things that people forget. But the audio on Twitch, and apparently was also the audio stream that was going to all the movie theaters, was like borked the first 15 minutes. And when you have the spotlight on you, you can't afford those kind of fuck-ups. I'm sorry. That was pretty embarrassing. So I have to call that out, that was a little bit of a disappointment, that something that you would think would be that simple. It must be something about that venue because they moved to that venue last year, and I remember last year had an audio problem too. So Sony might need to think about changing the venue if that's what's causing their audio problems. I don't know, but I just it kind of, I think Loki, that's why you might have missed that Uncharted is the holiday game, because that was when the audio was fucking up. So
I watched it on YouTube. I didn't have any problems.
That's why. But then YouTube was like lagged. YouTube was like almost a minute behind. So it was weird. But anyway, I had to call that out. Just kind of
I'll take a minute behind if it's
stern,
you know,
stern finger waving. But I mean, not to say, like, again, it's not like I'm like, oh, I'm going to sell my PS4. It was so bad. No, it wasn't. And you know, the Spider-Man game looks sweet, I guess.
Yeah, Spider-Man looked neat. I mean,
but I feel like, okay, that was the big reveal last year, and Days Gone was shown twice last year, and God of War was last year, and all this shit was last year.
Detroit looked all right.
Detroit did look all right. That game, I'm probably more than anything else they showed, I'm looking forward to Detroit.
Is that guy that's in the lead there, is that the guy from, like, fucking Grey's Anatomy? Because it sure as hell looks like the guy from Grey's Anatomy.
I don't know actors and what they're on very
fucking
well, but
Grey's Anatomy,
it is a real person. It is a real person.
But yeah, it looks like I forget his name, but...
But I will say this. Sony was also strangely short. It was very short. It was an hour. Not 90 minutes. They went 2 hours 1 year. It was an hour. Now, you could say that the pre-show hour, I mean, again, because there was that Jackbox-looking thing where they had everybody was on their phone controlling the game, and there was a game from the Until Dawn people that was like, you had somebody that was like a rebel spy, basically, in your midst that was trying to screw the game over, and that looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is the guy from Grey's Anatomy. That's why I thought I knew him.
Okay. But I was like, it was just weird to me because I felt like the things I got most excited about with Sony were all like the pre-show content, which I don't know what that says about me as a gamer. But anyway, with the short stuff, here's something else I noticed was really missing, really, really missing, the sizzle reel of third-party and independent stuff. I mean, sure, you had Destiny 2, I know that, you know, Call of Duty or whatever. I know third parties weren't absent, but where was that sizzle reel of indie games? Indie games were gone. And I remember the year when they had all these indie developers up on stage, bam, 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 bam. Like, there was, like, all these games are coming to PS4, and that was, like, a big year, and it felt absent. It felt really absent this year to not be showcasing some of the indie and the lower support on the main stage. That was a little regretful, I think, for Sony. But otherwise, it was okay. That's really what I said. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. Okay. It was polite clap. I had a nice polite clap at the end. How about, I don't know if there's anything you guys want to add with Sony or anything you guys saw or read about after the fact?
Nah, I don't know if it's particularly Sony, but I'm still pretty excited about Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
You're like the only one I know. I'm sorry.
If you play the demo, you might.
And more than that, I'm actually super interested in, the Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Okay.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's all right.
Because it's Arc Systems.
Microsoft showed that, didn't they? That was on their thing.
That looks.
But it is. Cool. But that is going to be on both. But I will say, with the Marvel vs. Capcom, the biggest complaints I'm hearing about it are the art style. Like, Chun-Li looks like she's regressed a little bit. That's what I'm hearing.
I was perfectly fine with the art style because I mean, basically, I was just really paying attention to Strider Hiryu the whole time. Although I'm not excited about his voice, just because I've gotten more familiar with his Japanese voice. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that I can play it in Japanese and have the voices I'm more familiar with.
Is Troy Baker doing all the voices this year? He should do all of them.
But I'm pretty excited. I mean, and it might just be the Dragon Ball kick I've been on lately, too. But, I mean, a Dragon Ball game done by the fucking Guilty Gear people. Sign me up.
How about a fighting game that's Troy Baker versus... Who's the other guy that does
Nolan
all the voices?
North.
Nolan North. Versus... Tara Strong. I was like, who's the lady that does Tara Strong? So we'll do that. Like, it'll be a trio game. I don't know. Anyway, going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Free Kill Zero in chat asks, oh yeah, with Destiny 2, what platform are you all, including chat, considering? PC, 100%. I don't even care that there's a gap. PC, PC, PC.
I'm not that interested in Destiny 2 just because I never played the first one, although I have it. I just haven't played it. If I was going to pick a platform, it would probably be PC.
Yeah. On my new 4K rig I'm going to have by the holiday. Trust. That's like coming out of E3. That was like my number one takeaway, is that I fucking want a 4K monitor and a 4K a graphics card that'll do it. Yes, I'm well aware you can't get one for $500, which is why. But I will invest a little more in my PC because I do so much gaming on my PC. So yeah, for sure, Destiny 2 on PC. So okay, so I think that's all there is to say about Sony for now. So how about Loki? How about Nintendo? How about Nintendo?
I mean, Nintendo is okay. I'm trying to think of the exact stuff that they showed. So like, I remember well, they ended with Odyssey, so it was
okay. Mario Odyssey looked fucking sweet.
Yes, Mario Odyssey looks really good. And I watched like
the hat on everything. That was rad.
That's all right. Yeah, I watched like the actual like gameplay they were doing like up through Treehouse Live. So I watched a lot of that.
Cool.
I mean, it looks pretty good. It looks like a good Mario game, which is good. It's what the system needs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not super excited. I mean, I was never really into the 3D Metroid games. Metroid Prime 4 just announcing that they're working on that. I mean, cool. When the fuck's it coming out? No idea. I mean, so that's cool at least that they're working on it.
I feel a little differently here because I was so fucking happy that Nintendo acknowledged Metroid, you know, especially after forgetting its birthday, that Nintendo was like, yes, we're doing Metroid Prime 4, even though Retro's not doing it, which is interesting.
I like the...
I'm not as big on the 3D Metroids myself, but I did like Prime 3, and I liked the original Prime when it was out. I'm going to fucking play it.
Well,
like,
yeah,
I have
I'm sure
to.
That the new Prime game's going to be... look really nice.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's... What was Prime 3 on? Was that the... That wasn't the Wii, was it?
It was on Wii. Yeah, because they did the trilogy. They did the trilogy.
Well, the trilogy, but when did it originally come out? That was on GameCube.
On the Wii.
Right? Was it on the Wii?
Sure? Because it had the motion controls. Metroid Prime 3 was on the Wii. One and two, I think, were GameCube. 3 was on the Wii, and then they did the trilogy on the Wii.
Oh, okay.
I think. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought I played Metroid Prime 3 on the Wii, but maybe I just didn't get on board until... Okay, ActDev confirms it was on the Wii. Because, okay. Yeah, I thought motion controls were
but
a big
even
part
still,
of that.
The Wii, I mean, that was a SD system, so, I mean, this will look much better anyway. So I'm interested to see what
Well, and
looks
the
like.
Multiplayer potential there. I mean, that they would take from, what was the one on DS when it first, that was, it was a multiplayer heavy thing on the DS. It was the one that was like the pack-in game.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I don't remember what it's called.
I don't remember the name of it either, but I'm excited to see what they're probably... Because it seems very likely that we're going to get multiplayer in this, whatever it's going to be. And that could be an eSport, Loki. Thank you. Hunters. Prime Hunters. Thank you. Okay. I knew it wasn't Federation Force. I started to go there, but... What was that you said before the show? Metroid Prime Federation Force?
Yeah, Federation Force.
All right.
I was going to say... what else did they show? They showed off was that they talked about DLC for Zelda, which is all right. And we knew that was kind of coming already. So the first piece is, I think, going to be at the end of this month. And
yeah, it looked pretty hot.
The rest is later. They showed off that Rocket League is going to be coming to the Switch.
There's a part of me that's kind of like, okay, fucking Rocket. Like, it's not quite as bad as Skyrim, but I'm like, okay, Rocket League is like literally everywhere else. But then I do think about, okay, but the Switch is a really good system for it with its portability and everything. Like, it's kind of one of those, okay, yeah, this kind of has to happen. Like, it makes a lot of sense to have Rocket League on Switch. There was that. We have to backtrack a little bit. It wasn't in their 30-minute thing, which really blew. Again, what the same thing as Sony, a big bombshell that they didn't put in their main presentation. Not only is there Metroid Prime 4, there is a Metroid on 3DS, which... I thought Nintendo was going to walk away from 3DS a long time ago to focus on the Switch, but clearly no. There is now a Metroid game that is a remake of Metroid 2 that's going to be on the 3DS, and a lot of people are saying, oh, that's why they pulled AM2R. No, they pulled AM2R because it was Nintendo, period. It's just a coincidence
but
that they
I
had their
so
own thing in development.
But I'm confused as why that game is not on the Switch as well. Like, why not... Why can't you develop it for two systems?
I'm with you, but at the same time, I'm like, I am just fucking happy it's happening. I am fucking happy it's happening, and great, I already own a 3DS, cool. I just hope it's not a new 3DS exclusive, but nothing they said indicated that. But if it's unique to new 3DS, I'm going to be a little salty. I'm going to be a little salty, but I'll probably finally fucking upgrade if it is, because I want to play it. Yes, it's Metroid. I will do stupid things.
They had the new Yoshi game that looks kind of like Paper Yoshi or something. I mean, that looked kind of cool.
You know, that Yoshi game did pretty good on Wii U, so they're kind of doing like a spiritual successor. Act Deft would have your head if you forgot to mention Kirby.
No, I was just going to say that there's a new Kirby game that's coming
out. Yes, that's right. There's a new Kirby game. That looked cute. And Kirby, you know, had some pretty solid entries on the Wii and the Wii U, so, you know, it's logical that the Switch was getting one. I kind of didn't expect it, but at the same time, I was like, oh, yeah, well, this makes sense, right? So it looked cute, although 2018, not this holiday.
Yeah.
Also absent were additional Wii U remasters, and a lot of people convinced, including myself, that Smash Brothers was going to be a remaster for this year, but
it
appears
still time.
Not.
I mean, I don't think they're going to do Smash. I think, they have the Pokken one that's coming out.
There is Pokken. I kind of think what could have happened is that, similar to Splatoon 2, it might have started as a remaster, and somewhere along the line they've said, you know what, let's just make it a new game. And so Smash has been tabled for a year or two while they do that. And that's, you know, as long as it's good, that's all I fucking want. So... And Bayonetta as a character still would be great as well. So there's that. Xenoblade Chronicles 2 had some more stuff shown. That is a holiday title we shouldn't forget. It's an RPG.
Yeah.
It was pretty damn good on Wii U and the other one that they had on Wii. So I don't see why it will be bad on Switch. I'm looking forward to that for sure. So there was also Fire Emblem Warriors. Had a little peek at that. I know I'm not super into that series either, but cool. And then some more Amiibo. Of course, Breath of the Wild. But the Metroid squishy ones, I like those.
The Metroid one looked kind of cool. Yeah. And then, of course, they have Amiibo that ties in with the new Mario Odyssey as well.
Come on, Noel Gus in our chat room says, I'm wondering if they're delaying Smash for a year to try to make ARMS an esports thing. And we did, I don't know if it's so much the esports thing, although I'm confident, yes, Nintendo wants ARMS to be esports. But all that debate aside, maybe Nintendo really did kind of take a step back and say, you know what, we've got ARMS, we've got Pokken, maybe there is too much fighting this year.
Let's see how popular ARMS is going to be first, because if there's no one playing it, you can't have it be a fucking esport.
It's the people that I know that bought it are enjoying it.
I get it. It's out now with it's one of the few games that's on the system, but come like at the end of the year when there's Mario and Splatoon shit, how many people are really going to be playing ARMS by then?
So I see what you're saying. So let's evaluate how popular ARMS still is after Mario Odyssey.
The legs, you know, of the game are going
to
be.
You want to see ARMS' legs. Yes, I get it. That's a good way to put it.
So, I mean, because, it's popular now, but, like, there's not a whole lot of shit out right now for it. So let's just see how that is. And also let's see what online looks like next year. I mean, because... But I'm worried that, you know, Splatoon, that's going to come out. Everyone's going to be like, I forgot all about ARMS. I'm playing Splatoon.
To be fair to ARMS, even though I was not thrilled with the demo and I'm not going to plunk down the asking price for it, but to be fair to it, it does sound like they plan to support it in a similar method to how they're supporting Overwatch with free DLC characters, because I know they talked about one this last week. So there is that, Loki. They're trying to give ARMS legs through DLC. So there is that.
All right.
And it's worked incredibly well for Overwatch, although that's a whole nother beast. Blizzard's Overwatch, which probably is esports. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Act Deft in chat says, Twintel has legs for days. YYR says, hold on a second. Nintendo is at least 5 to 10 years behind the rest of the world, right? Shouldn't they not be due to look into esports until about 2025? VidPower in chat says, poor Sakurai, he's so worked to the bone for so many years making Smash games. I kind of hope they give him a break. And Kaijudo says, ARMS and Splatoon are not the same kind of game. There is room for both. So, we will see.
Sure.
We will see. All right. But I was pleased with Nintendo overall, especially the Metroid things. Obviously, that made me giddy. And otherwise, I think it was... You know, I try not to set the bar too high for Nintendo, right? So I was like, okay, my expectations were not...
I think it's going to do well. They have a solid Mario game coming out. So, I mean, there's no reason the system's not going to do well through holiday with that. I mean, that That alone will sell systems.
Yeah, we don't even know, you know, a lot of what the online library is going to look like. Again, they didn't spotlight too much. I mean, a little bit, because obviously with Rocket League.
Yes, I do remember, and I don't think it's on our list here, but, like, I know that there's people interviewing Reggie, and he dodged all questions regarding, like, Virtual Console and online or anything.
But people have to remember, that's what they do at E3, and that's part of the reason why E3 is kind of a show that I personally am kind of over-attending, because they stated the script, and they will not deviate from the script at E3. You have to talk to indie publishers, smaller studios, and people that are very passionate about their game to get them to go off script about the games. Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony are not going to go off script, ever. So people that were trying to get Reggie to go off script, what the fuck were you expecting to happen? Like, sorry, that's just the realism. I know it's disappointing, but have you not been paying attention to E3 since it landed on the internet so many years ago? Just saying.
I like how he's like, I'm tired of people asking me about Mother 3. Well, then, you know what? Maybe you should fucking release
well,
it.
Well, there's something you could do about that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That is so... I wish I could go a day without people asking me that. I thought I could. No, you didn't. You didn't think that you could. You knew what was fucking going to happen. Please. Don't even try to pretend that you didn't know that was going to happen.
All right. Jamie, Misty, anything you guys want to say about Nintendo?
Nothing surprising.
But you're still not on board with Switch, right? Not yet?
Not really.
Wii U is absent completely, which you have to expect that.
That's not surprising
that.
Either.
That's not surprising. Except for its logo did show up with the Breath of the Wild DLC.
Well, of course.
That was the
it's
one.
It's out on that.
Yeah, it is. It is. But otherwise, Nintendo certainly has moved on from Wii U, although not 3DS. Just interesting. All right. Oh, ActDef does point out Wii U does have Just Dance 2018 coming. They're probably releasing that on the PlayStation 2. Like,
well, no, not anymore, but probably the PlayStation 3. They usually go back a generation. I mean, they were releasing that for the Wii, I think, up until like last year.
Actually, ActDef says it's also coming out on the Wii. Just Dance 2018 is coming out on the Wii. It's, you know what? The Wii U is backwards. It's probably the same fucking game that's on the Wii. Just in a box that has the Wii U logo on it because it's all backwards compatible. Just saying.
And it still works for those that have not upgraded me.
And that is true. You know what? There's still we have to remember, we have one perspective because we do this show because we are gamer fans. So we tend to be more on the quote-unquote cutting edge of games. But there are a lot of households that still
and
are rocking.
And why not? You know what? Praise Ubisoft for actually fucking publishing a music game. Because you know what? Who the fuck else is? Let's put it that way. Because Konami, fucking, unless there's music in fucking pachinko slot machine, they own, but they're not really producing anything that's like a new...
Outside the arcade.
Outside the arcade, yeah.
All right. And Kaijuda says, don't sleep on those Just Dance games. They're huge.
To go back, though, one other thing to kind of go back to, you know, my bitch about like how publishers are ruining stuff. And also talking about Ubisoft, which we just briefly touched on. Are you fucking serious, Ubisoft, with an $800 version of fucking Assassin's Creed with a statue in it? Really?
Somebody's buying it. Somebody out there is buying it.
That's
I don't know.
Fucking retarded.
Somebody's buying it. Whatever.
That was almost as retarded as the... I want to say it was Wolfenstein. There was a version of Wolfenstein, The New Blood, that came out. It was a special edition that did not include the game.
I think like Mass Effect Andromeda had a version like that too. It came with the fucking Mako, but it doesn't come with the game. We saw that at Best Buy the other day, and Alan was like, oh, here's the collector's edition. I said, notice how the box doesn't say any game platform on it. It doesn't say PS4 or Xbox One because there's no game in it. It's just that fucking Mako thing in it. And I was like, these things are going to end up on the clearance rack, and when it does, we should go get it.
Hell yes.
All right. Anyway, let's see. Orange Wright says Namco's still making music games for home consoles. They have a Taiko on the Switch.
They do, and I think there's actually a PlayStation 4 version that's coming out soon.
Mm-hmm. PlayStation 4 also got Super Beat Sonic. That's it. Which is that Vita game? Yeah, just came over. So I mean, there's music games happening out there. But then we look at Project Rap Rabbit and. Well, but that had its own, I mean, what a great exhibition and how not to run your Kickstarter. That's all I'm going to say on that. Like, it sucks, but so was how they ran that whole Kickstarter from start to finish.
Oh, I missed that.
it was very arrogant. Like, I'm sorry, that Rap Rabbit thing read is very arrogant to me.
Did they not make their Kickstarter?
Oh, they're not gonna. I don't know if it's over yet, but it was nowhere close when I last checked.
Why haven't these developers learn? Like, you know, I'm famous because I made this game. I'm gonna put out a game and everybody's gonna love it. You know, that only worked for Inafune, or was it Inafune? Who, I'm sorry, I'm getting names confused. Who was it that did Bloodstained? Is that Inafune? That's not Inafune. That's,
Igarashi.
Igarashi, I'm sorry. And it was with an I. Igarashi's.
Yeah, but Bloodstained looks really fucking good.
Yeah, it does look fucking good. But, like, Inafune thought that they could do that with, you know, Mighty No. 9, and then it ended up sucking. And then now, you know, they're thinking they're going to be all cocky with this stuff.
This project, okay, Rap Rabbit has 20 hours to go. Out of the 1 million plus goal, it's 1,092,000 because of the currency conversion. They have made about $200,000. They've made 20%.
You know what? They have backers. This is more proving that people want the game. And well, sorry, I guess it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, it's an ouch. Why would
perhaps
RRHS
if you sold
ouch.
More $800 collector's editions, you'd hit that goal faster.
Well, perhaps if you hadn't come out saying making music games great again, and then not showing any gameplay concept until 2/3 of the way through your Kickstarter project, maybe you would have had a different result. And you know, this whole thing has been trying to be sold. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm going off right now, but it's just as a music game fan, it's very, very disappointing to me. And I feel like a lot of this was that, oh, we're the folks that made Elite Beat Agents, and, you know, we made Parappa the Rappa, and so this is the game we're going to make next. Da, 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 da. These guys need to realize that Inafune, Mega Man, and Mighty No. 9 ruined it for them. They need to be able to show a lot more coming out the gate than, well, we made this, so we're going to make this great. Sorry, that ain't going to work anymore. It's just not. It's not.
Yeah, because Inafune proved, like, just because you have a good pedigree doesn't mean that you're going to always make
right.
great games.
And you can thank Mighty No. 9 for the reason why this flopped.
Yeah.
So, sorry, it's harsh. But I hope they find a way to make it happen otherwise. But I just don't think it's going to at this point.
Well,
I think
the
20% is so bad that I don't know how they're going to do it. But I feel
an Amplitude like that, too? Like, I remember, like, Harmonix, did that make it school pretty fast? Or?
No, it had like a big out the gate, and then it really struggled, and it looked like it was going to be questionable, and then they kind of made it at the last second. So it was a little different.
I know I don't think it's on our show roll, but I know that Concept actually just joined their subsidiary now of Level 5. So
actually, I think you did have that story later on, so you might want to talk about that later.
We'll talk about it later on.
All right. Well, clearly.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert. Well, if you guys all read the gaming blogs, you already know anyway. All right, let's move on. We have some more gaming news we want to cover, but of course, we got to talk about our gaming weeks and what were the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dar Sakura, how was your gaming week?
It was kind of non-existent this week. Actually, I've been playing... what's the game called again? Since I've been on my big Dragon Ball kick lately... I downloaded that game on iOS, Dokkan Battle, and it's kind of neat. It's very flashy, as I expect it to be. I haven't gotten too far in it, and I've also been playing that Sailor Moon Sailor Drops. It's actually kind of fun. It's like Bejeweled on crack.
Yeah, I think Alan was into that, the Japanese version on his phone. I think that's the same one.
Pretty much, it's just the text that's been translated into English.
Right,
but I think it's like international server, so it's got all the original voices and everything. It's okay.
Sure.
And I actually haven't even touched WoW except for doing my dailies on my phone. And then I ran out of resources, so I might have to log in and do a few things to get some more resources, but... I'm waiting until they release the new raid for LFR, and then I might do that, the whole Sargeras raid. So we'll see how that goes. Other than that, I'm on the fence for a game I want to buy.
Hmm.
Again, because of my big Dragon Ball kick.
Mm-hmm.
I really am thinking about getting Xenoverse 2.
Hmm.
It looks fun. I like the MMO without being an MMO thing. You know, because most of the time, you know how I am on most games. I play by myself.
Right.
I'm not really super social with that. I just like talking to people. So I think it would be fun, and it would be right up my alley. I just don't know anyone who's played it. So
I'm looking. Let me know if y'all have a favorable impression or not.
All right.
Before I drop $80 on it. Well, because I'd be getting all the DLC at the same time.
Sure.
So, other than that, I've watched 60 episodes of Dragon Ball Super. That's what I've been doing with my life. And the Drag Race reunion, which just annoyed me to no end.
You're the fan favorite, Darkseid. Yay, fan favorite. Yay, fan favorite.
Everyone applaud for the fan favorite. Thank you, Pheromone. I laughed my ass off
just
during that.
Just going to plug this week's episode of Reading is Fundamental. It'll be fun.
Although the thing, to sidestep a bit, the thing that made me laugh was the reading back and forth with Trinity and Eureka. And I'm so excited Eureka's on next season.
All right.
Okay, done.
All right, wrong show. All right. Loki, how was your gaming week?
So this week I was trying to play some different things, but I ended up playing some of the same things. So I played actually Skyrim a little bit last night. I was playing through Skyrim. I was doing some quests and stuff. I just finished up doing one of the quests for, I don't remember now. It was, it doesn't matter. But I was playing through Skyrim, and then, of course, it crashed it didn't crash. It broke in a very unique way, so my whole screen is black unless I pause the game, and then I could see what was on the screen. But I couldn't do anything with that. So, you know, it is that point that I kind of have the realization, you know, like, I always say I like Bethesda games because they're buggy and glitchy and stuff. I don't think that's the case, really. I think I'm kind of tired of their games being so fucking broken. I like that they're quirky sometimes, and that's any game really is quirky, but when your game is fundamentally broken and you're just not fixing it, and instead you're coming up with concepts to monetize user-made content, I have a little bit of a problem with that, and that's kind of where I'm at with that, but that's my realization. So I went back to playing the other game I was playing this week, which is Minecraft on PlayStation 4. I just decided I'm going to just play survival for a little bit, and so I did that, and it was relaxing. Then, of course, the other stuff I played, I tried the Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite demo that they have, the story demo, and I was kind of on the fence with that game as it was, and that demo did not fucking help. I am not purchasing that game. Was not very good at all. The characters are all right.
I forgot to get it.
The characters are all right, but that demo, it was just, and I get it, it's a story mode, so there's supposed to be cutscenes, but it's just like, cutscene, boring-ass fight, cutscene,
I'm a little worried for Capcom. Granted, Resident Evil 7, people are loving.
No, that looks fantastic.
But I'm a little worried for Capcom right now.
It's just, you know, honestly, looking at the roster of characters that were going to be in there, it wasn't all that exciting to me that much. I mean, it was, I wanted to check it out, and I did, and I'm just not feeling it. I thought Marvel vs. Capcom 3 was way better roster-wise. It was more interesting characters. And I guess maybe later on down the line, you know, with all the DLC that they'll be pumping out, that I'm sure interesting characters will come out. But that's going to be a couple years from now by the time that, you know, more interesting characters. And by then, I'm just not going to want to play it. And I don't want to play it now, so I'm just not going to pick it up.
All right.
And then, of course, you know, mobile-wise, I've been playing, you know, my usual Pokemon Go and clicker game. I didn't do it because I saw it came out this week. I almost downloaded Garfield Go because that's a thing now.
Apparently. Wait, Garfield Go?
Garfield Go, yes. It's like a Pokemon Go ripoff with Garfield. It is absolutely terrible. So you go around, you collect.
You gotta find lasagna. And avoid Nurmal.
No. You're right. Guess what? So you know Pokemon.
I mean, yes, I do know Pokemon. Okay, I've heard of Pokemon.
So you know in Pokemon Go how you have to flick the balls at the Pokemon to try to catch them?
Yes.
In Garfield Go, you have to flick lasagna into Garfield's dish. And they have the whole AR shit and everything. And you collect, and you go around and you find comic books, like old comic book panels that they have and stuff. And on top of that, though, apparently you can win actual, like, real money prizes, like gift cards and crap. But, I mean, come on, honestly, you're never going to be able to do that because they're going to somehow limit it. But, yes, that's Garfield Go. It looks like such a
blatant... I'm going balls deep on Pokemon Garfield Go. Let's do this, y'all.
All right, this week,
let's
Garfield
Go. Tournament. It is fucking on. Garfield Go, motherfuckers. This is the next big thing in gaming. It's an e-sport.
It is. So that's it. That was my week.
Misty, care to follow that up? How was your gaming week? Maybe you can play some Garfield Go on the trains as you're heading back east. She's got it up on her phone. I love it.
I need to investigate how bad it is for myself.
I'm telling you. It is on. It is on. All right, Misty, how was your gaming week? What have you been up to?
Considering being in transit half the time, mostly Pokemon Go. I mean, where the hell did my nickname come from after all?
Right.
And
you are the leader of the water gym.
But yes, I did end up at round one, so pretty much any games you can find there. Notable exceptions, the Project Diva game that I seem to remember seeing, and 2DX. I mainly concentrated on poppin' music and of course, DDR.
What about our trip to Stars yesterday? I thought you would, because you got to play U-Beat, and what else? We played DDR. We played a round of DDR together.
Yes, we did.
And you watched me pass Orion 7-8, which was a 9-footer back in the day, but at some point they gave it more feet. It's a 12-footer now, and my old man ass passed that. Thank you very much. I'm going to be that 40-year-old DDR player up on the machine, not giving a fuck that the other people playing are old enough to be my kids.
Hey, at least your old man ass doesn't have any knee problems that I know of.
That's why
my ass has been sticking to beginner.
Not yet.
Jumps off.
All right. Anything else for your gaming week you want to share?
I did do a few songs of obligatory Stepmania on a train, but that's all I'm thinking of offhand.
All right. My gaming week. I will talk about, so I went to the arcade with Misty and played some more Neon FM, which I'm enjoying. And as you play in the arcade, you rake up a bunch of credits that you can use on the phone to play songs for free. So that part's, if you log into the game. So don't forget, like, if you are interested in Neon FM, like, make an account and log in, because you get free currency stuff when you play in the arcade. So don't forget that. And I've been enjoying that. But otherwise, big stuff that I've been playing this week. I have been checking out the newest Final Fantasy XIV expansion that had its soft launch on Friday, or the early access. I guess the official launch is not until Monday or Tuesday, but the early access launch was on Friday. And I'm not going to lie, it was a fucking mess. And a little bit of an embarrassment for Square Enix, how bad they kind of screwed up the launch of Stormblood. Because what happened basically is that in the main story quest, when you want to progress characters, you know, past level 60 to level 70 and experience the new story, everything got held up, where there is this scene that you had to play what they call a solo instance, where you do a fight by yourself, basically, that's similar to a dungeon, but it's like a solo experience. And what was happening is that so many people were hitting it that the servers couldn't handle it. And so maybe like one person out of the thousands that were trying to get in would get in at a time. And so many people could not progress the story. And I was actually streaming this on my Twitch. You can see it actually happen to me towards the end of the stream that I was doing for 2.5 hours. But it was pretty rotten that went on for over 2 days after the launch. And then they finally fixed it overnight. So now that I'm past that, the game's fantastic. Like, the story is great, and some of the cutscenes so far have made me go, like, they've been, like, really, like, twisting and turning and that stuff. So, you know, now that I'm past all that, it's fantastic. But that was very, very disappointing that they did not, like, pull the servers down sooner to try to fix it or do any sort of testing whatsoever. It was a little bit of a black mark. But otherwise, now that I think we're past it, it's probably one of those things everybody will forget in a few weeks, because I'm sure the story and the expansion is good enough and strong enough to really carry the game. But I just feel like the creators of said story and said game did not deserve how screwed they got by those network issues. But that also is partially in the design of what were they thinking, funneling all these people through a solo instance so early on. You know, they should have done it later in the story when people are getting there at different times. It was a little... It was a bad decision on Square's part. But anyway, it's fine now, and that's the important part, I suppose. during some of the downtime, I was on my PlayStation 4 and I was just kind of catching up on some of the backlog. So I checked out this free to play game I downloaded a while ago called Paladins. Have you heard of this?
Yes, I have. And I've actually.
It's their Overwatch-y
game. I kind of wanted to try it because it looked all right. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, it looks like kind of a ripoff of Overwatch, but a lot of people are playing it.
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, it's hard to say because, you know.
It's inspired. I mean, granted.
Well. This game had to have been in development long before Overwatch was out. Like, it takes too much to make a video game. But I'm sorry, when I look at that and some of the abilities that some of the people have, and, like seriously, the tank in Paladins, like, had a fucking Reinhardt shield. It was a little curved shield and everything, and I'm like, some of these abilities, I think, are kind of, like, right out of Overwatch. But...
Keep in mind, shield designs tend to be fairly universal for the type of shield.
That's true. And who knows, you know, and this could all be borrowed from Team Fortress 2, which I didn't really play enough of, to be fair. I mean, Mercy is a lot like the medic in Team Fortress 2. So it's not like these games haven't borrowed from each other before. And, you know, I enjoyed what I played at Paladins. There's a lot to explore in the free-to-play currency because you can't play every character right out the gate. And
they rotate them out.
Yeah, and there's also, like, there's these cards that look like magic cards that can actually change abilities. And that's something that, to be fair, Overwatch doesn't really have. You can't really, like, alter your abilities on the characters through some of the loot that you get. So there are some very different things that Paladin's doing, but, you know, it's calling it an Overwatch-inspired game is not a bad way to think about it if, like, is this a game I want to get into or not. So Stoppy in chat says, I want to try it, but I hear it has a lot of grinding and too much pay to win. Eh, well, it's free to try. And I went in and did some AI matches, and I was like, oh, this is all right. This is fun. This is a good time waster. So I don't think I'm going to sit there and drop $50 on it, but I can see why people get into it. It actually, I would say, to be fair, especially in the art style, it does remind me more of Team Fortress 2 in a lot of ways, even than it does Overwatch. So, you know, which is what both games really probably owe its credit to.
Just can't come up with a Team Fortress 3.
Well, they're allergic to 3. Anyway, one other thing I want to give a quick shout out to is he was in chat earlier, but I guess he left at some point. But my buddy Gabe from Nascent Games did a little show and tell for Crumple, which is like super duper close to getting released, I guess, now at this point. And so I played it on Amazon Fire because I wanted to see what it was like on the tablet because, you know, I'd played it before when he had it on a PC at one of those gaming shows. I tried it on a tablet, and I'm excited for him for the game to finally launch. So congrats to him. I guess it is finally coming out next month, but there are a couple other things I gave him some feedback on how I felt about his finished product, and I think there are a couple things he's thinking about implementing over the next month, so that'll be out very soon. And it gave me an opportunity to check out that space. Remember when him and Bree were here last time, they were talking about like the Square One, which is like, it's like, not to give away where I live, but it's like just down the street. It's not that far from here at all. So I was pleasantly surprised by that. And they've got a nice little thing going there. So I'm very happy for them. It's like going into like a shared office space, but it's very hip. I don't know how else to describe it because I only got to see I haven't worked there. I've only experienced the little media event he had there. So. But it's like they took a converted office basically, and they're converting it to this. You know, this office is for Nascent Games. This office is for somebody else who wants to rent it. And there's these other spaces where people can, you know, collaborate and do stuff too. And there's a little classroom in the back where they can do like, you know, their development panels and things that they do there.
Yeah, they're so, like progressive jams.
I feel like I'll let them explain it better next time we either have him or Brie back on the show. We'll let them explain it better probably than I can do. But it was nice to go there and see the growing game development scene in Sacramento. It was always a pleasant thing. So I was very happy to do that. So, and I see Brie is actually in chat tonight and gave me a heart. So thank you very much. Hearts right back at you. All right. Let's move on. I think that's really all I have to say about my gaming week. So we got news to cover, other stuff besides just E3 and 15 years and gaming weeks. So Loki, start us off, please.
Yes. So IO Interactive has finally left Square Enix. They, you know, basically said that, you know, hey, we're independent now. And the best part about it is they also are keeping the rights to Hitman. So that is still their franchise, which is kind of because you see sometimes, you know, when these companies get bought by other companies, that, you know, they don't retain the rights to some of those games. And
then the new owner hangs on to it for all time, never to do anything with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is nice to see that, you know, they're going to be able to do their own thing, maybe with another, you know, publishing partner. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. And he said, you know, it's 19-year history. IO Interactive has, you know, brought out lots of different games. And they said that, you know, from Mini Ninjas, the Freedom Fighters, and, of course, Kane and Lynch and Agent 47 and Hitman. So, you know, they've... I don't know. They're going to be independent now, so it'll be cool to see what they're going to be working on next.
Well, and since you're very anti-publisher tonight, Loki, this should be good news for them, right? Because now they'll be able to do whatever the fuck they want.
It's nice to have flexibility about where you're going to publish with. And like,
they don't have to do their game episodic if they
don't
want.
Exactly.
Although people didn't seem to dislike that for Hitman. So maybe they'll keep it. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah. So I'm curious to see what happens in the future with them.
So, at E3, a lot of people were talking about the Minecraft 4K, right? But then the other announcement that Minecraft was going to be cross-platform, and they actually had the Switch was in there, and it was going to be cross-platform across the tablets, PC, Switch, all that stuff. But, you know, what was missing, y'all, was Sony, PlayStation, and, apparently, Microsoft was trying to talk to Sony about it, and let's see, there was a tweet from Minecraft spokesperson Aubrey Norris over on Twitter. Wasn't she with...
Yes, THQ.
She was with Devolver at one point, wasn't she?
I don't remember if she was with Devolver, but I know she was with THQ. We
used to get emails from her all the time. Yeah. I met her at 1E3.
Because I just remember her doing a lot of like the Volition stuff. And
yes, it was Volition. Yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah. Okay, it was
THQ.
Okay.
It was THQ.
That's it. Okay. And Bobby Blackwolf in chat follows that up. She was nowhere with Devolver. She was with THQ and Volition. Sorry. My bad. I can't. These companies probably can't keep their own personnel straight, let alone me. So anyway, but I just remember the name sounded very familiar to me because she wrote the most hilarious emails to promote all this
stuff. Yeah, she's awesome.
She's very good at getting attention. But
one
anyway,
of the best in PR.
Now she's Minecraft, which, you know, is obviously that franchise. And she went on Twitter and said, "We'd love to have PlayStation players along with the unified Minecraft. Hope that we can." So apparently this went on to the fact that this is something that PlayStation is pushing back on a little bit. And this is a little bit true with Rocket League as well. And Eurogamer actually did an interview with Jim Ryan, who's PlayStation Global Sales and Marketing head, to say, Minecraft's got this, Rocket League's got this, what's going on? Is Sony not playing ball? Jim Ryan said, "It's certainly not a profound philosophical stance. We've done it in the past. We're always open to conversations with any developer or publisher who wants to talk about it. Unfortunately, it's a commercial discussion between ourselves and other stakeholders, and I'm not going to get into the detail of that on this particular instance, and I can see your eyes rolling." And then Eurogamer went on to clarify that, you know, well, obviously they're upset. They want to play with Switch owners and so forth. And Jim Ryan continued, "We've got to be mindful of our responsibility to our install base. Minecraft, the demographic playing that, you know as well as I do, it's all ages but also very young. We have a contract with the people who go online with us that we look after them, and they are within the PlayStation curated universe. Exposing what in many cases are children to external influences we have no ability to manage or look after, it's something we have to think about very carefully." So what I'm taking away from this is that he's saying basically, if a child were to go into a match or whatever with a Microsoft player, and that Microsoft player draws penises out of Minecraft blocks, then heaven forbid that child saw a digital penis and it was Microsoft that enabled said penising and not Sony, because Sony would have been unable to police that. Because Sony polices so much on their network as it is. That's kind of what I took away from it. But then you go, okay, there's a part of me that said, all right, well, what is crossplay on Sony? Final Fantasy 14 is obviously the first one that comes to mind for me. If you want to go further back, Final Fantasy 11 was huge because that was Microsoft, Sony, and PC. 360, PlayStation 2, and PC. We're all in on that.
Yeah.
But then I kind of go, well, okay, but... Square run uses its own game masters, and so there's GMs that, you know, can moderate this type of stuff. So I guess, okay, it is a little different. What about Street Fighter V? What about Street Fighter V? That's the other big crossplay thing I think of. There's no GMs in that. Is that just because kids don't play Street Fighter, or because Street Fighter is an M-rated game?
I don't think it's their excuses why, you know, I don't think it has anything to do with kids. So, like, I don't remember, like, back last year when they made the announcement, who made the announcement about cross-platform, and it was actually Microsoft saying that they're going to allow Xbox gamers to play against PlayStation 4 and PC players. But I don't think, and then Sony, of course, responded back to that saying, well, PlayStation's been supporting cross-platform play between PC and on several software titles, including Final Fantasy XI on PlayStation 2 and PC back in 2002. It's like, ha ha, we did it first. Of course, they were saying, you know, we would be happy to have the conversation with any publisher or developers who are interested in cross-platform play. That was last year. This year, probably because they're, as Bobby put, so ahead of the game, there's nothing really for them to gain on this. Aside from disappointing, you know, people that do own the, like you and me, like, and most, like, gamers out there, dude, we're not your fucking company, okay? For us, you know, to lose that ability to play with our friends on different platforms is kind of a disappointment. I get it, your company, and this is, like, an advantage for you because you're ahead of the game, but that shit shifts all the time. It's still disappointing that you're being petty about this.
If you want to talk 2006 E3 for a minute, those were very different times when Sony would have begged for this sort of thing. So don't get cocky, y'all. Haven't we ask Rap Rabbit about that one?
I'm surprised. Like I get it. It's about business and about the bottom line. But like, can't these companies come together and say, hey, you know what? This is a cool idea. Let's see if we can implement cross-platform play amongst all these different platforms so that we can benefit the players. But oh, fuck that. No money. I need my money. Pay for that PlayStation Plus and the Xbox Live.
If I were to take Jim Ryan at face value on what he's saying here, then I would think this could be solved as follows. Don't let the PlayStation people play with Xbox until, or Switch or any of the other stuff, until they acknowledge a disclaimer that says you are leaving the PlayStation Network and you know, Sony does not moderate and cannot be held liable for what you're about to see or whatever that. Or restrict it to 18 and up if you want. Don't let accounts with birthdays prior to whatever's 18 up, don't let them use it. Lock the under 18 crowd out. Sorry, but you know, if that's what it's going to take to get the rest of us on board, then do it.
All of, like, any game that has online says, you know, the online portion is unrated. It's not rated by the ESRB. So, you may see dicks.
Warning, dicks ahoy.
Dicks ahoy.
How boring.
That's all we need. Just a little.
Since everybody's getting into the, you know, the pirate game, you know, thing, that's the new popular thing. Mm-hmm. That's the Devolver Digital title right there. Dicks ahoy. I can see it now.
Isn't that a porn star's name? Dixie Hoy.
If not, that should be a drag queen's name. Dixie Hoy. Patent pending, trademark. I'm sure that there's got to be a Dixie Wrecked. I'm sure that's.
Well, I know there's also a Dixie Normus.
So yeah, I did see, like, kind of on tangent no here, since we're talking about weird names for things. Mm-hmm. I did see that someone has used the power of machine learning to name guinea pigs, and so this machine can look at a guinea pig and come up with a name. Why isn't anybody can it using do that machine?
Can it do that for babies?
Well, yeah, I guess you could. I mean, if you want to name them gerbil names or whatever, or, like, you know, hamster names or guinea pig names, whatever. But, like, why can't we be using machine learning for, like, naming drag queens? I mean, I think, or porn stars, really anything.
I'm pretty sure for some season of Drag Race, Logo TV had. Well, we already have a machine. Remember, it's the name of your first pet plus the street you grew up on is your drag queen name.
That's also a way to get people's, you know, security questions.
That's right. So you got to be careful what you post on Facebook. That's why I'm not going to answer that question here on OLR. But yeah, mm-hmm. Sometimes those things are little tricks. But anyway, moving on. Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
Well, I'm going to say right now, this might sound really weird to at least those of us, at least in America, where it's illegal to do something like this. But Konami has been, well, the report is that they are allegedly blacklisting their ex-employees in the Japanese video game industry. So basically, the ones in particular that they're targeting are people that worked for Kojima Productions. What it was actually printed in Nikkei Asian Review that
there was a Kojima Productions executive who applied for Kojima to join ITS Kenpo, which is an insurance company that focuses on the gaming industry, and the application was denied because the chair of that company's board is also a board member at Konami. It's Kimihiko Higashio. So there's a lot of evidence, but it's not confirmed. But and of course, it was asked of Konami US, and there was no reply.
Well, the U.S. is also different rules anyway, so it's likely that if this is true, and we should say allegedly, well, it's all Japan.
There's another quote in here from the article from Nikkei Asian Review is that they have they're apparently not allowed to put their Konami experience on their public resume, and it was quoted saying, if you leave the company, you cannot rely on Konami's name to land a job.
Well, to be...
There went my LinkedIn profile.
And if an ex-Konami employee is interviewed by the media, the company will send them a letter through a legal representative about whatever they say about it. So, take it as you will.
So, to stop people from bad-mouthing it, basically.
Exactly, which, of course, we know here in the U.S., highly illegal.
Right.
So.
They're really not trying that hard not to be dicks.
Right? All right. It's how the mighty have fallen. Bobby Blackwolf in chat asks, is Konami run by the Yakuza now? Like that, seriously, serious question. Is it run by the Yakuza? Probably not, but...
But I wouldn't be surprised.
I know, right? It's sad. It's sad. Moving on. Happy Loki, right? Or more sad? More sad.
So there was a... Rockstar had sent a cease and desist to a modding software called Open 4. And Open 4 has been around forever since, you know, Open 4 being Grand Theft Auto 4. It is one of the pieces of software that I used at one time to archive some of their files and stuff and, you know, help mod the game and everything. And, you know, this has been around for like 10 years now and people have used it for a lot of things. Now, currently, Open 4 is closed software, so you can't like really see the code for it. And they were putting things in place where if you were using Open 4, you wouldn't be able to mod online. It was mainly for offline purposes. You could use it to, you know, change out models and stuff like that. And so, really, kind of benign stuff. But nonetheless, they went ahead and. Put it out there. And I guess Take-Two has followed up with this because people are not happy one bit about it because you're essentially killing, you know, single-player modding. And so they said, no, Take-Two's actions were not specifically targeting single-player mods. Unfortunately, Open 4 enables recent malicious mods that allow harassment of players and interfere with Grand Theft Auto Online experiences for everybody. We're working to figure out a way we can continue to support the creative community without negatively impacting our players, which is a big fucking line of bullshit because it does not work online. There's no way to use it for online modding, period. So that is a bunch of bullshit. And to go along with that, you know, once again, Good NTS, the guy that actually made the software, he's responded to it as well, saying, you know, Open 4, Liberty City, and GTA 5 and all other mods slash projects from my team and me are only specific for single player. Rockstar must be aware about the fact that you cannot access GTA Online while you have installed any Open 4 mod. And he even posts a screenshot, basically says, alert, you are attempting to access GTA Online servers with an altered version of the game, returning to Grand Theft Auto 5. It literally blocks you from playing online. This is a statement. Unfortunately, Open 4 enables recent malicious mods that allow harassment of players, interfere with Grand Theft Auto Online experiences for everybody. It's just wrong, and they know it. Open 4 does not allow or support any kind of GTA Online mods. We always supported Rockstar in their right to protect GTA Online from hacks and cheats, but Take-Two C&D was specific for our single-player mods and have no mentions about Grand Theft Auto Online. Then on top of that, not only were they forced to take stuff down, but actually there was some other cease and desist for actual Grand Theft Auto Online mods. So one of those was Forks Hacks, which is a mod menu that you can use in Grand Theft Auto Online that actually required a $15 a month fee to access it. And what's kind of funny with that is basically they were... It says, after discussions with Take-Two Interactive, effective immediately, we are ceasing all maintenance, development, and distribution of the Forks Hacks cheat menu service. We will be donating our proceeds to charity, and we apologize for all problems Forks Hacks services have caused to the Grand Theft Auto community. So they are kind of cleaning house. Along with that, Lexicon and Menu tools have also been posted statements basically receiving a cease and desist as well. So yes, it sucks. I mean, it's good that they're getting rid of those online mod menus because that's really where the problems are coming from. It sucks that they're targeting Open 4 because that really is not, you know, part of this. Their thought is because draw in, and honestly, it was one of the reasons I purchased Grand Theft Auto for the third time. Grand Theft Auto 5 for the third time on my third console.
No more giving me shit about Mass Effect 3.
For the third time on PC because it was for modding. Because I wanted to mod the game. And that was one of the reasons. Now they have basically stolen that from me. Which is ridiculous. And, I mean, I don't know. We'll find a way around it, I'm sure. But it's still annoying that they would punish players like that. Because I think what it comes down to, as this is the head of Take-Two said before, they see the player base as, you know, more wood to be chopped, whereas basically those people that bought the game and are spending a lot of their time offline playing with mods, if you want all that creative stuff that you were able to do with modding, now you better go to play online and pay your, you know, buy those shark cards so that you can buy all this content. That's kind of what's keeping me offline a lot because of this whole pay to win stuff.
I want to go to chat because there's a lot of comments from this here in chat. Dungeon Buster in chat says, Steam rankings for Grand Theft Auto V were torn down by a lot of angry reviewers. From what I understand, the mod tool took a lot of pains to avoid the problems the cease and desist accused it of. Tiger Claw in chat says, I wonder how this will affect a Grand Theft Auto V community that does Grand Theft Auto V RPs. There's a community that role plays in Grand Theft Auto V using a mod so they can play as cops.
Yeah, you're probably not going to be able to do it anymore.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck because that was really benign stuff that they had. And it was just changing.
They want to charge for it like Bethesda is.
Well, here's what it was, is they were just playing with like different modifications that weren't necessarily affecting online. A lot of it was just like model swaps. Like you're taking their generic police car and replacing it with a real police car model. Who gives a shit? No, it's not affecting anybody else except the player that's actually using the mod. And so it's just sad that they're going to play dumb and pretend like, oh, well, you know, I guess the excuse might be, well, someone hacked it and they modded it so that it works online. Okay, well, that's not you of all people, Take-Two, should fucking know about how someone hacked something and it's not representative of the actual product. Hello, cop, you know, hot coffee mod, anyone? I mean, shit. I mean, you had that stuff disabled, but someone hacked it, and then they accessed it, and so that's not representative of what the final product was. I mean, come on. You understand what it is. And, like, they went out more than, I think, fair out of their way to try to prevent any sort of this nonsense, and then they're still getting punished for it. And I think it's because of fucking greed. It's because, once again, they want you to pay for those, because Grand Theft Auto Online is making a ton of money, and they feel, and they even fucking boldly and just bragged about it. Just like, we think that we can get more money, that people aren't paying enough on Grand Theft Auto Online. We want you, we're just going to go get that wood chopped.
Wow.
It's fucking sick.
All right, well, I'm going to move on for time's sake, but wow, that's a pretty bold move. Now, finally, I have some good news, because I know everybody wants to go to Super Nintendo Land when it opens up at Universal Studios. Yay, theme park news. Woo! Yay, theme parks make it all better. Well, apparently some information already hitting out on the internet. Some leaked information about the Orlando park and what Super Nintendo Land is supposed to look like. Now, keep in mind, it could be fake, but I don't know.
They have the trailer for the Japanese one.
Yeah, they had the trailer for the Japanese one, so there are some things out there that are legit. But anyway, apparently a Mario Kart ride is happening. That is part of it, which seems so obvious, doesn't it? I just hope I can blue shell my friends. That's just what I hope is a part of it. But anyway, also there might be Kirby areas and Zelda areas. There's a Kirby Kids Playland, a Donkey Kong Island, a Zelda Kingdom, and a Super Mario World ride, which I assume is part of the where the Mario Kart thing is. For those familiar with Universal Studios Orlando, I've never been there. I only know the one in Hollywood, but it's right by the Simpsons ride where they're building it. It's right on the other side of that.
I mean, it's all right, but it sounds like the Kirby Land really sucks.
I think that's a pun. Act F, put it down. I think that was just a pun. I'm all for. I can't wait for this to come out. I want to go there. I really do. Act F in chat says Kirby area. When are we going? let's see. Dungeon Buster in chat says if the Zelda Kingdom has a ride as awesome as Gringotts Bank ride, I'm there. It looks like the Mario ride is the biggest one. I don't even think Zelda has a ride. It looks like more of the photo opportunities. But you never know. We'll see. We'll see what they build there. Because if you think about it, they did do that expansion in Orlando, and they just opened in Hollywood, so I finally went there. The Harry Potter area expanded. And I got to say, that ride is fucking magical. Like the Forbidden Journey or whatever that ride is called, the one that's like it's like half roller coaster, half in front of screens and stuff. That ride is fucking magical. Like I really enjoyed that ride. But they have, so that's like the highlight. That's like the thing you have to fucking do if you go to Harry Potter World. But then they also have like a little roller coaster that's, oh, okay, it's cute. And that's like it. So they open this whole Harry Potter World to open up shops, things that look like Harry Potter World, to sell butter beer. So you can expect that there's going to be a lot of that with Nintendo as well. A lot of it is going to be to sell you Nintendo merchandise. I'm sure plenty of you are going to be okay with that.
The shroom market there is going to be fantastic.
That's right. That's right. Who knows what food and drink.
What they're not telling you, though, unfortunately, is that Super Mario World or Super Nintendo Land or whatever, it's actually based off of the Super Mario Brothers movie. And so it's all post-apocalyptic with like crappy fungus everywhere and like tiny
did Universal put out that movie? I don't think they did. I don't think Universal was the studio behind that movie. Oh, no, I feel like it was New Line or somebody else.
It was probably New Line.
All right, anyway. Let's move on. Dark Soccer, what do you have for us before we get to the classic game of the week soon?
Well, they have confirmed a prequel for Life is Strange. They've confirmed a three-part prequel. And it will be called Before the Storm. And it was actually confirmed by Ashley Birch, who played Chloe, that she will not be reprising her role because of the SAG-AFTRA strike. So,
she replaced by Troy Baker.
No, but she apparently was consulted about the role anyway. So, it should be interesting. I hope that, you know, there is a good voice actor, but still, I think it's really shady for them going around the guild, you know, when this strike is there for improving the conditions of voice actors.
I have heard there's some more progress, like just in this last week, that there's progress being made at the strike that I guess they're going to sit down at the table again and hopefully fucking resolve this already.
I hope so.
But yeah, I mean, we all said when the strike first started, you're not going to feel it now. But you're going to these games in production, you're going to start to feel it later on. And so now we're starting to see it a little bit. So I just hope that perception of, oh, nothing's changed, hasn't like been the cause of this going on so long. But I think some independent, like some studios have kind of independently kind of like this whole strike is very strange because like I think some studios have like independently met the needs. And so they're like, OK, but others aren't. And it's very fragmented right now.
But it's just so irritating that there are still studios out there who are looking for voice actors who aren't yet in the guild because it takes a lot to get into the Screen Actors Guild.
Sure.
And the fact that they're looking for people who may be willing to work in those conditions for a lesser amount of money, you know, it damages all the attempts being made by the voice actors. It's really, and these companies that are doing it know full well that they're harming these people. So I hope this isn't the case. I hope it's just a contract issue. But I still have little respect for anyone who's going to, I don't have respect for the action.
of anything that would harm the goal of SAG-AFTRA.
Sure.
So.
And we have friends of the show. Y'all know Miss Marissa is in that industry and, you know, has hopefully given a voice to that side of it here on the show.
Yeah.
We got to have her back.
We do.
We really do.
Marissa is very talented.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Anyway, I got to go to this follow-up comment in chat over at live.vognetwork.com to the Mario Brothers and who made the movie. Tiger Claw says, the Super Mario Brothers movie was made by Hollywood Pictures and distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution, Inc. Hollywood Pictures, if I remember, is owned by Disney, and I recall that as well. So no wonder they went to the other place in Orlando. No wonder they were like, Disney? Nah, I'm good. We'll go to the other place. Thanks. See ya. All right, Loki, what do you have for us before we get to a classic game of the week coming up?
As I spoiled earlier in the show, Level 5 has acquired Concept, and they've created a subsidiary now called Level 5 Concept. Yes, it's a very unique name. And, of course, Concept, you may remember, is releasing a game called Mighty No. 9, and they have that Red Ash something or other game that's coming out that's, you know, the not Mega Man Legends, but Mega Man Legends. But, hey, we're already starting an anime and the game, and we haven't even put out the one game. And, yeah. So Level 5 Concept is also working on a game. Actually, their first title is going to be called Dragon Colonies, which is going to be an iOS and Android title. And that's coming out in Japan in 2018. It looks like, and they said it's going to feature dice-shaped miniature garden colonies called Colonies. And players can build them up, and there's one-on-one. I mean, honestly, it sounds like every single mobile game that's out there. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of mobile game advertisements having to play this free, you know, play game.
Sure.
And they all fucking look the same. Like, I know it's a terrible thing to say.
Looks quite like nothing looks quite like Garfield Go.
Garfield Go, and I played like a brief minute of it. That is one janky piece of shit. Like, I'm telling you, it's just like that was like, hey, let's cash that shit in.
All right. Well, you know, one other thing that's come up a lot lately, and even Loki referenced this earlier in the show, are the voice chat solutions over on the Switch. By the way, somebody did poke Reggie on that, and I don't have the interview in front of me because it doesn't relate to what I'm about to talk about, but I do recall Reggie saying something similar to what I thought I had mentioned here on OLR, that what we saw, that Hori thing, that thing with the Splatoon, that's just one possible solution. That's what one third party is doing. That's not the end all only way that's going to work. But Reggie does confirm it will be through an app. But there have been other people that have just kind of said, well, that's kind of what we're doing anyway. We're using Skype or we're using Discord is one thing that's growing a lot with gamers. And what's interesting about this is that a fan actually asked Discord on Twitter, because that's what we do now these days is tweet people, about an app on the Nintendo Switch. And Discord said, we hope so. And they gave a link to upvote the idea over at a particular link. So Discord would love to be involved in the solution over on the Nintendo Switch.
I don't think it would work because you can't have two apps running at the same time, can you?
But that's yet to be determined, I think, with the Switch. You can have the shell of the system, the OS, and changing the games and all that still runs while you have a game running in the background. So the system is able to multitask, I think, more than probably the Wii U was able to.
Yeah.
But we don't know its full potential yet. I think it's too early to say because we haven't.
It's a nice idea, but I'm skeptical.
Now, Tiger Claw asks, is there a Discord app on Xbox One and PlayStation 4? I don't believe so. So, at least not that I'm aware of. If there is, I've never used it. But it's more, I think of it more as a PC/mobile phone thing is where Discord is a solution for a lot of things.
I'm surprised they don't go with like Skype or something because you would think Skype is...
Well, who owns Skype, Loki?
Microsoft.
Yeah. So...
But no, there's a reason for that, because they're talking like cross-play for like other games and stuff. I mean, you would think if you use the Skype app, then you're... Let's honestly, people are going to find another solution that's going to be better than what Nintendo has anyway. So why am I even thinking about this?
By the way, speaking of Discord, I can tease you with this a little bit, by the way. Bobby and I were talking earlier this evening, and there is going to be a VOG Network Discord in the very near future, something that we want to use as more and more of our personalities and shows are growing into the live broadcasting over on Twitch. That not just includes myself, but Bobby and even more people that are getting involved with that, as well as having a place, for example, a chat room that's kind of always on, except like not only on Sunday nights. By the way, IRC is not going anywhere, at least not right now. It's not anything we're talking about right now. IRC is still going to work the same way it always does for the Sunday night shows. I'm not saying that. But a nice way, for example, maybe if we had a channel on OLR and throughout the week you might find a story that's like, hey, I wish you guys would talk about this on the show. We're going to have a place where to kind of collect that information. So that's going to be really exciting. So I see Discord myself as more of like the modern version of the forums, because our VOG Network forums kind of have tumbleweed rolling through them. So I think Discord's going to be a great, I don't want to say replacement, but I think a great evolution, let's say, of that. So please look forward to it. I was hoping we might be able to unveil that tonight, but it's my fault. I've been so busy that Bobby and I haven't been able to coordinate notes on that. So look forward to it soon, period. Bobby Blackwolf says, technically the IRC is always on all week. Rob just never shows up outside of Sundays. Yeah, I guess it's partially my fault, but at the same time, I think Discord is kind of built a little more because it's on your mobile phone to be somewhere that goes with you, whereas IRC isn't as, I mean, yes, I know there's IRC clients on the phone, but we all know it's not as easy. So it'll be nice. So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, we're going to take a trip down memory lane with the classic game of the week. Every week, Dark Soccer steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you ungrateful kids, get off my lawn and go play this video game. Now, Dark Soccer, it is an anniversary show tonight. It is the 15th birthday of OLR tonight. So I expect nothing less than an epic choice for tonight's classic game of the week. Are you going to deliver?
It's relatively epic.
I think so. I think she picked a good one this week. I think this is a very appropriate choice.
After much deliberation.
And also you have to consider there's a lot of things she's picked in the past that she didn't want to repeat. So.
Yeah.
But this is good. This is a good choice. So, Dark Soccer, here on the 15th anniversary of OLR, what'd you pick for the classic game of the week?
Pump It Up. Yay. Which is not what I originally picked. But after some discussion, it turned out to be the right choice.
That's right.
For the record, it's never going to be Halo. No Xbox Halo game is going to be classic game. Stop asking. No Xbox Halo game.
Honestly, 15 years ago, I would have never thought this would be a classic game of the week, to be honest. So, we're making progress.
Plus, Starion's fucking great. Anyway, Pump It Up. It's a music game that was developed by Nextcade and published by Andamiro in Korea. And it is a dance game. And it's sort of like, I like to think of it as the flip side of DDR in, as far as dancing games goes. Because it uses the squares that DDR doesn't. It's got 5 panels. It's got doubles play, but you basically have up left, up right, bottom right, and a center panel. So it really is the flip side of DDR that way. And basically, like DDR, the arrows are synchronized to a rhythm or beat of a chosen song. And you have to step on the arrows the right way. It first came out in South Korea in August of 1999 and has been released in other countries, including all over North America, South America, Europe, I should say continents then. But as far as other versions are concerned, the thing that I thought was kind of neat about it is that it does have the, the I'm falling on my ass, help me bar. Which is kind of like in the shape of an R on one side and the reverse R the other way. I guess to hold over DDR, but man, that thing hurts when you fall on it. Each of the panels is made of acrylic glass. It's arranged like I described earlier. And so each of those pads is switch activated. When the screen, shows you which one to step on, you step on it. While hopefully not looking like you're flailing for your life. Later on, we had the DX version that came out. Those used rear projection televisions for the monitors.
And they're definitely a lot cleaner looking, and they also have USB ports after NX2. So you can save your statistics, and you know, and it does have a proprietary USB drive. So moving on, there did have home versions that were released. There was the PC version that came with the version of the dance mat. The arrows are exactly the same size as the arcade, you know, size. And it connected through the PS2 port and had an adapter so that you could share that with your keyboard. On the international versions, there is a USB plug. Also, Exceed and Zero were released for PSP. In 2004, Andamira released the Korean version of Pump It Up Exceed for PS2. And it had most of the songs from the arcade Exceed version. The US version came out in 2005 for Xbox and PlayStation 2 under the name Pump It Up Exceed SE. And it had most of the songs from the Korean PS2 version and 6 licensed songs. So there also are, of course, the emulated versions, or I should say simulated versions, like Kick It Up, Direct Move, and Step Mania. But overall, Pump It Up has been really well received. The thing is that you've got your DDR loyalist, and then for a while I was kind of, now the term didn't exist as we know it today, but I think, you know, a few years ago I would have called some of our Pump It Up players as kind of dancing game hipsters. Oh, everyone plays DDR, I'm playing Pump It Up, you know, but at the same time, it was really fun. It had a lot of great music, and I thought that having the full video playing in the background like it was for a lot of the songs was kind of novel at the time, given that we just had the repeating videos like with DDR with the little dancing people over it. In some cases, there were even a lot of songs that I thought were a lot better in some of the versions of Pump It Up, and it gave us some real classics that, you know, that even today we can't, you know, think of the game without thinking of those songs, you know, like, I mean, yeah, we had Starion in DDR.
It was a crossover, yeah.
But we had it in Pump It Up. We had Run to You. We had
Funky Tonight, which was just playing, yep, in the background there. This is Shane's favorite song that we're transitioning into here, Lizenka.
Yeah.
You know, you can't help but think of that one too, yeah.
Just lots of great music. And I would even say, in my opinion, that the difficulty of Pump It Up might even be a little bit harder with DDR, especially, I'd say, more if you're a DDR player going to Pump It Up and haven't a lot of experience with it. You know, you kind of have to retrain your feet for it. And so overall, I mean, I think that the game has really stood up. It's emerged as its own, in its own right, as opposed to, you know, DDR is the first thing that people think of. But I'd say it's like the Pepsi to DDR's Coke, you know? And a lot of people think that Pepsi is better. I mean, I think Pepsi's better, but I like DDR better as a game. But still.
Don't you have 7-Up?
Girl, 7-Up is made by PepsiCo. They're a Pepsi product. Josta was a Pepsi product.
Dr. Pepper.
Okay. Yeah, they're like that. What was that other game that I was trying to think of the name?
Yeah,
of?
JD, I thought so. 7-Up is part of Dr. Pepper Snapple.
Okay, whatever. So anyway, we've got all kinds of versions that release. But, you know, as far as the other games, I mean, the music in the games, you know, how a lot of the DDR games went from what were the CDs?
VCDs or
Dance Mania CDs.
Oh, yeah. Dance Mania X.
Yeah, it went though from a lot of, I'm trying to think of the company.
Toshiba EMI.
Toshiba EMI. But, you know, Konami also had their own in-house as well. And for Pump It Up, they had Banya, which was their in-house artist group.
What good timing. We're in a Banya song right now. Love is a Danger Zone.
Another good song. But they got a lot of good K-pop licenses. And they even, though, would go kind of like how, you know, again, DDR was doing too. There were covers of classical music done in symphonic rock style, like, for example, Canon and D. Okay, I hate canon. I hate playing it. Okay, that's my tangent on that one for me. But then it has some jazz and folk and ska in there. It was pretty cool. The only thing is that they were not so keen on some of the electronic music. But the first time it came up would be in NX2, usually with covers of American music. So there you go. It all started with the first dance floor. And there you go.
All right. There it is. The classic game of the week, Pump It Up, a.k.a. That Other Dance Game.
That Other Dance Game. Man, I'm still trying to remember what the one that had the six...
So I was going to say, this day and age is kind of, I mean, you know, fast forward to 15 years later, I mean, we say that tongue-in-cheek, That Other Dance Game. But now it's like, especially when you go to a place like Round 1, it's right, it's side-by-side with DDR, and you've got people that are playing both.
That's the other one I was trying to think of, was Easy to Dancer.
Easy to Dancer, oh my God. That's right.
They had one at that bowling alley in Oakland.
There's your Snapple.
That's no, that's not even the Snapple. That's like... That's like Shasta.
That's the Dr. Thunder.
That's Dr. Thunder. It's the Walmart brand. Easy to Dancer was okay, but my God, it was kind of boring.
Now, all 3DD, right. 3DDX was like the RC Cola.
Oh, God. All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, guys, plenty more of Orange Lounge Radio. We got some emails tonight. We're going to get into release dates as well and your calls. We actually don't have as many stories in Part B, which is probably good because this first part is run long. We're almost at 2 hours just in the first half of the show. Yeah.
We're old.
Yeah, I know. We got plenty more show to come. Your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype after a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back on this very special OLR.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase LOCK.
Hello, everybody out there on Orange Lounge Radio. This is Captain Spike.
And First Mate Sidekick.
From the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
We just wanted to wish you guys a very, very happy 15-year anniversary. What you guys do is really incredible. We wouldn't be doing what we do if not for you guys. And so all of our love and support go out to you tonight on this special day, Rob, Jamie, and Loki.
Oh my God, it's almost your sweet 16. Hearts.
There better be a party for that, y'all. Anyway, have a great show. Congrats again, and see you, Space Cowboy.
Yarr!
Thank you very much to our pals over at GameBuoy.org. You know, we didn't even ask for those because some of you might have been like, OLR was taking the bumpers. Actually, we didn't solicit that. That just showed up in Dropbox. So I thought that was a nice little surprise from our pals over at GameBuoy.org. So thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. And I love what they do over there so much that I do a show on the side with those two. It was a lot of fun. So anyway, also, I want to make sure this doesn't get lost in the shuffle. I do want to get back into gaming news, but we've had so much going on tonight with E3 and the 15th birthday and all that other stuff. I want to make sure this doesn't get lost. Happy Father's Day to all the gamer dads and dad-like figures and et cetera and so forth out there, including our very own, of course, Loki is celebrating Father's Day today. Did the kids leave you alone today so you could play video games?
Oh, no, they're wanking. What?
Well, that's a ripoff. Sorry to hear that.
That's right. We went to dinner last night, and then they're so whiny yesterday, but what are you going to do?
All right. Well, anyway, so yes. And, of course, cat dads, dog dads, all that. I hope everybody, however you're celebrating today, you're enjoying your Father's Day today.
And moms who are dads to their kids.
Why not? Single moms or whatever the situation is.
All the single mamas, put your hands up.
All right. We're going to get back into some video game news, though. Let's go to some rapid fire news. Loki.
So there's this cool video I saw online for this. They have a VR center now. That's in Namco Bandai's VR Zone in Shinjuku. And they have a lot of cool games there, one of which is actually a VR Super Mario Kart experience. So you actually sit in these little, it looks like go-karts. You have a Vive on, and they even have like sensors on their hands so you could throw shells and everything. It looks pretty badass. Aside from that, let's just say that Mario isn't your thing. Then they would also have a Neon Genesis game. They actually go and fight, you know, some of the angels in that. And then they even have a Dragon Ball Z experience as well, so you can like throw fireballs and stuff. It looks pretty awesome from the video. So I want to check that out. But that made me think, you know, when we were talking about the whole Super Nintendo Land, in like a Mario Kart experience, it's like I could see something very similar to that being like the Mario Kart experience. So.
Isn't that like a new ride they have over at Six Flags Marine World or whatever they're calling it now over in Vallejo? They have the whole like there's some roller coaster, but it runs on VR or something. Like it's like part roller coaster, but you have big headsets on.
Oh, they have like some of these roller coasters that they can kind of like remix the experience basically. So they have at least the ones I've seen in the past have been a Gear VR, and you wear them on your face, and it's synced. The movements are synced to the actual ride, so you're feeling all the G forces and stuff from the roller coaster, but you're like flying through space or like at the city or something like that. So, I mean, that's cool. I still don't like roller coasters enough to try that, but it looks
cool. All right.
I mean, it sounds cool.
By the way, a quick follow-up before you get to your other thing. Quick follow-up on the Happy Father's Day thing. JD reminds me of this. There was a game announced on Steam today called Dream Daddy, a dad dating simulator that's making its rounds on the internet. So it reminded me to wish a Happy Father's Day to all those daddies out there as well. Wink, nudge. Sorry, Loki. Back to you.
So... wasting no time whatsoever, there is a mod for Super Mario 64 called Super Mario Odyssey 64 that allows you to have the hat power up to take control of different creatures, including like they have a bomb, all the different things. So you can even use that on on the castle grounds. You can take control of birds and other stuff. Collect and throw coins. So very cool. So yeah, that was released by Kaze Amanar, and yeah, I mean that's just crazy that it only took him like a week to do that. So if you're interested in checking it out, they had a link on Kotaku for it. So Go Nintendo has a link too. So
all right,
check it out.
All right, well, moving on, this is another re-release of this game that's come out a few times on different platforms. It's 2064 Read Only Memories, which came from Midboss, which we had Matt from Midboss on the show. They're also the folks that put on GamerX, which that did get funded, GamerX East. So our pals on the East Coast will get to go to that for a second time this year. But Midboss is also behind this game, 2064 Read Only Memories, and it was announced this week that it will be coming out to the Nintendo Switch. And there will be some new extras, including some Switch exclusive features, new voiced scenes, fast skip autosave, and other core game improvements. And it's running on a new framework for Unity. So they're calling it 2064 Read Only Memories Integral. So good luck with that release. That's early 2018. We don't know specifically when yet. And another piece I have here, this comes from. Actually, the Southern Fried Game Room Expo, which Vogue Network was sponsoring during this last weekend. I know Bobby was talking a lot about it on his show, but I hope some of y'all were able to go visit that. There was a cabinet there, a restored Sky Skipper cabinet. And this was something where Nintendo was going to put this out, I guess, but then they didn't. It was dropped in 1982. But even though some ROMs found their way online, and I guess there was an Atari 2600 version of this, although I don't remember it at all, but I guess that was something. There was no cabinets that were really known to exist. So they actually were able to get one of the cabinets from the vaults of Nintendo America. So that's something right there that Nintendo kind of agreed to let this happen. So that's pretty cool. And then there was a prototype cabinet that was actually built and on display there at Southern Fried Game Room Expo. And there's a whole little walkthrough and all this stuff over at YouTube, John's Arcade, which I know Dark Soccer has mentioned on the show before. And speaking of ties from a long time ago, John being one of the hosts on Video Game Outsiders, which was at All Games Radio at the same time we were. So kind of funny how that all plays out. Now he has a massively successful YouTube channel, and we're turning 15. I'm just teasing. No, that's great. I would like to play this game someday. Perhaps that machine will tour the country. We'll see. Anyhow, let's move on. Dark Sakura, a few things from you.
Oh, just some stuff. Basically, first of all, going on about the Atari 2600, there is a revival console that going to be. I mean, first of all, there's a bajillion ways that you can play Atari 2600 games regardless, but now there is the Retron 77
that is basically a remade Atari 2600. You can use original joysticks, but you can use USB controllers. And the theory is going that it would be retail about $80. So we'll see, of course, being released by Hyperkin. And then the second thing, not so happy, is that Keith Robinson, who is the guy behind the Intellivision, he died on Wednesday this past week, 61 years old. Not bad, not great, but, you know, he designed games for the Intellivision that was put up by Mattel, and then he bought the rights to a television and kept up with Intellivision Lives collections. So thank you to him, and rest in peace.
Yeah, you know, actually, speaking of E3 memories, I don't know if you guys remember this, but that whole year, you know, and I referenced this earlier in the show, that whole year that all the All Games stuff was there at the arena, he was there being interviewed by Scott over at All Games and all of them. He was there at that arena, what do they call it, the Arena Lounge or whatever it was during during E3 that one year. So I remember meeting the guy and, you know, listening to some of his stories. So it's, you know, it's definitely a loss and a harsh reminder that some of these great minds in gaming that brought us these games in the 70s and 80s, you know, they're getting up there in age, as horrible as it may sound to say. You know, we gotta get as many interviews, as many recordings, as many stories, as much as we can about those times before it's too late. So,
oh, one thing I wanted to mention, I forgot to mention during my VR story.
Yeah.
One of the other games that they noticed that they had on there was a VR prop cycle game.
So oh,
they
get
had
out.
Everybody, like, you know, doing the whole, like, you know, stationary bike thing. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Huh. All right. Well, let's travel around and look at what's coming out in stores this week. What will be on shelves this week, Loki?
So this week we've got God Wars Future Pass on PlayStation 4 and Vita. We have Nex Machina on PC and PlayStation 4. And then on 3DS, Ever Oasis. Get Even on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And finally, Secret Worlds Legends on PC.
All right, traveling over to Japan. On the PlayStation 4 this week in Japan, Loco Roco gets its release. I remember they were remastering some old favorites from like PSP and stuff, or, you know, like Parappa was one of these. Now Loco Roco is coming as well. That'll be out on PlayStation 4 on June the 22nd, as well as Farpoint gets its Japanese release this week. Over on the Vita, Tokyo Yamanote Boys for V main disc in regular and limited edition, as well as a game called God Wars, which I believe is Future Pass. But they call it in Japan, Toke wo Koete comes out this week. And lastly, I wanted to see if anything is on the Switch this week. They are getting some of the Zelda figures this week in Japan, the Skyward Sword, Twilight Princess, and Majora's Mask. But otherwise, Amiibos are really the only thing to look forward to on the Switch. The 3DS doesn't really have anything except a game called The Alliance Alive that I must admit I don't know much about. But that is what is out in Japan this week. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Some stuff. Really not a terrible lot. On the 19th is Dungeon Defenders 2 for Xbox One, the 21st Argo for PC, and the 22nd RPG Maker Fest. That's it.
All right, I think it's time that we dive into the mailbag. Every week you guys email us over at participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we reads our emails as Dark Soccer dives into the mailbag and pulls out emails. And sorry, I don't know where my music is tonight.
How'd it get all sticky?
Where'd my music go for this segment? It's gone.
It.
You know what? I guess I'll just have to use the Ed's music because I can't find the mailbag music. That's it. As of the 15th anniversary, we're doing the fuck you music now. No, I'm just kidding. We would never. Not with our listeners. All right. But no, seriously, I think you guys did send us quite a few emails tonight, right?
Yeah, a few.
Yeah.
So I will start at the start. Hello, LR. Congratulations on surviving and thriving through 15 years of the show where every gamer has a voice. On this momentous occasion where we look back and realize just how long 15 years actually is, I can share something with you that happened to me recently and remind me that, yes, we are all getting older. I live about 10 minutes away from a place called Sport Time USA. This place has existed since the 1990s, and at least, and somehow it still exists today, probably due to a combination of high prices, a lack of competition, and regular visits from schools, camps, and groups of of religious and disabled. Inside, it looks dingy, dirty, half the games are broken or close enough, and most of them aren't worth playing anyway. But they have In the Groove 2, and it 100% works, and that's the only reason I go there once or twice a week, every week. Last night, I ran into an 11-year-old kid who looked at my on-screen USB name and recognized me both from my several high scores on the machine and also my status as a somewhat well-known member of the East Coast music gaming community. He is a huge fan of Step Mania and In the Groove already, and although he's got a lot of work to do to GITGUD, he...
Get good.
Okay, I don't know what that is. So
it's kind of a meme. Get good.
Okay, whatever. He was already very familiar with the game, the community, and the work they've done on and around the game. For the record, slang can go over my head if I don't use it every day, so whatever. Of course, he has about a million questions for me. I honestly can't remember most of them because they were asked over 8 minutes ago, and I'm a goldfish. But I'll never forget this one. He asked me which game I played first, DDR or In the Groove. His eyes went wide as I told him I started playing DDR, that there was no such thing as In the Groove yet. Then my own eyes went wide as I realized what was about to happen, but it was already too late. I could only listen in horror, and I distinctly heard these words escape my lips. I've been playing this game since before you were born. This is the very first time that, during a moment in which I was standing on a dance game machine platform, I really, truly, and finally started to feel old. Oh, well. So, yeah, happy 15 years, and we're old. Love and kisses, YYR.
YYR, I heart you. I respect you. I wish you much success in your game development. Now fuck right off with that email. Since before you were born. Oh, my God. I feel so old.
Back in my day, you didn't have In the Groove. We played DDR on a low-res monitor, and there was no freeze arrows either, and all the arrows were the same color.
Back in my day, we used a Jungle Book dance pad to play imported DDR games, and we liked it.
I will point this out. Probably most people that I know of started DDR... Well, no, because we did get that first mix that didn't have the Vivid Arrows.
And you played Stomp to My Beat, and you liked it.
Some of us played while hitting each other with bats, Rob.
Now, think about this. Think about this, Miss Summers. That was before this kid was born.
Yeah.
Damn noobs.
Fuck right off of that email. No, but that had to have been an experience for YYR.
Our little quartet of the Stomp to My Beat freestyle involved a person I don't associate with anymore, and her ex.
I know. It's crazy how world. Things have evolved with. And then I even,
besides, better Stomp to My Beat than fucking Sandstorm.
Sandstorm didn't exist at the time.
I even look into
just in general.
I even look into some of these people I see coming into like the arcades I go to now, and I'm looking at them going like, "You were five when I started OLR, probably." It's just, yeah. Now get off my lawn. Next email.
Hey, you guys, thank you so very much for blessing our ear holes with your insight, wit, humor, and fucks, Loki.
Happy to, anytime.
I've listened to every single show since the Katamari debacle that you put on my Gator. Even during slow news weeks, the show always entertains and gives me something new to look forward to come Monday morning. It takes a lot more than dedication and persistence, I'm going to add, and boredom, to do this almost every week of every year.
And alcohol.
Alcohol, TBH. Too. I'm motivated by spite.
And porn. Porn. It took porn. A lot of porn. A
lot of porn.
To
Final
get through
fuck
these
X.
15 years. In fact, there was a fucking episode of OLR early on. It was in the first 100 episodes. I wasn't here. I was the missing one, and Jamie and Loki did a show, and all I heard about that show was, yeah, we watched a porn live on air, and I was like, the fuck happens when I'm not there? Was that the one where Maren Marvel was here? No, that was a different episode. Yeah. You guys have done the show without me, even though it's
I don't remember.
Right
was
now
at
my
Jamie's house?
House.
I think it was at Jamie's house.
I think so. It was that.
Because that was the long period we did the show at my house.
It was that place with the upstairs, downstairs.
The townhouse.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Anyway.
Where I hosted my first Bemani party there. We used to do Bemani parties regularly.
Yeah, that was fun.
That would usually just fall apart when people would start drinking. Okay, so back to this. It takes a deep and unwavering friendship. You guys genuinely love each other, and that comes through crystal clear over the airwaves. I love Dark Sakura's wealth of knowledge on classic games and consoles and political views. Well, finally someone appreciates my political views. Loki's unwavering, brutal honesty and hatred of shitty gaming news. Rob's unapologetic and steely support of Nintendo and professionalism sometimes, LOL.
Well, I get mad at Nintendo sometimes too, but we remember it comes from a Tyra Banks place. We were rooting for you!
Yeah, remember. Valentina. Valentina is going to become my scapegoat for everything now, you know?
I'm just trying to be to the community what Selena was. Dark Sakura.
Girl, you do not go there.
I know, you do not invoke the name of the Lord and Savior.
The Latina goddess.
Yes. Anyway.
I always stay in the loop when it comes to games and new developments, but I don't have many friends that are as caught up and able to form opinions regarding the news of the week. It is always fun to listen to your opinions and colorful dialogue. I have been a PlayStation loyalist. I'm Risimo on PSN, by the way.
Oh, I recognize that name. Mm-hmm. Hi.
Games like Tomb Raider and Horizon Zero Dawn may seem daunting initially, but there are adjustable difficulty settings. And when you have, when you get in the groove, the game flows like fucking butter. Bad imagery.
Tomb Raider's fucking great.
I have
great.
A story about an ex and butter, so I'm going to leave it at that.
You had my attention.
You have my attention, but I'm not, after this 15-year, which I would call like siblingship we probably have here, I'm not sure I want to know any more about this story, actually. This might be the OLR after dark.
I see, that's why I was just going to leave it there. So those two words together, just like, bad memory. I know you all have PS4s and haven't played this masterpiece. I've gotten my 8 platinum via this game. I will. What'd the chat room say?
Act Deft in chat says, "I can't believe it's not my ex and butter."
I totally butchered that quote too. You had my curiosity, but now you have my attention.
Anyway,
I will buy it and ship it to you as a birthday gift.
Aww,
but only
you
if you
to
pledge
that.
To finish it. Us finish a game. That's great.
Us finish a game. You know what, though? That Horizon Zero Dawn was on like a super sale recently. It was down to like... It still is.
I think until...
No, because I looked today. They wanted the full...
I checked the Steam sale countdown page, and since they're doing the Steam sale in 3 days...
Oh, fuck.
I'm getting Xenoverse, so... Anyway,
but I do want to play it, though.
We've taken way too many tangents in this email.
Oh, on this? Tangents? On my OLR?
But let me finish. I also bought PSVR a month ago, and I'm totally enamored with it. I got a sweet traveling case, and I'm always packing it up and taking it over to friends' houses. Buy it! In caps. I know you felt burned by buying the PS4 Pro, Rob, but you don't have a 4K TV yet, so there's negligible differences with the few games you play on the system. I really just want to thank you guys and congratulate you all on a job done fucking well. Thank you. Love the show and love you all, Risimo. Aww.
That was a very sweet email. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it with PlayStation VR, but 4K gaming is going to be my next big investment.
I could probably loan you mine if you wanted.
There we go. Share and share alike. Why not? And then I could buy a copy of Horizon and we can trade around. Doesn't that sound like fun?
I still have Injustice to play.
There you go.
And the game.
Get on that.
The game that the Nonary Games that Shane.
Oh made, yeah.
Which you're probably never going to hear from me again. But but when that sale goes on, if Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 goes cheap, I'm buying it.
All right. More emails?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I just have to get to it. All right. We have 3 more to go.
Oh my God. All right. Well, big show tonight.
Yeah.
That's why we cut stories tonight.
Fubar. Hello, OLR. My congratulations on your 15 years of podcast existence.
Thank you.
Excuse me. I think I started listening to your show in late 2015. Before that, I wasn't really aware of podcasts at all. Unfortunately, I didn't discover all of this earlier. But since then, I have enjoyed listening to your show. It is not always easy to keep track of all the gaming news during the week. So I appreciate that you take the time to do the show every Sunday. The fact that you're an open and welcoming podcast is an important bonus, too. About me, my gaming life boosted when I bought a Wii U and Bayonetta 2 back in 2014. I still play Bayonetta 2 regularly, tag Climax anyone, despite all the other new games. The Wii U gamepad also got me back into drawing, and I have posted lots of things on Miiverse. However, with the Switch, I feel like Miiverse is slowly disintegrating. Since I do reside in Germany, I cannot listen to your show live. It is basically in the middle of the night, so rely on the podcast every Monday morning.
You could stay up late on a three-day weekend if you really loved us. No, I'm totally kidding.
Occasionally, very occasionally, we will do like an earlier
show. Yeah, maybe it's time we do another noon for us show, which would be like 8 o'clock out there. Maybe we're gonna really think about that. It's about time we do another Euro time show.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. Of course, I also listen to other podcasts, and I admit that it sometimes can be difficult to keep up with all of them, but yours currently has the highest priority. Smile. On your Jubilee, I would like to know the following. In your opinion, what has changed in podcasting during the last 15 years? I'll do it question by question.
What has changed in podcasting in the last 15 years?
Audio quality.
Well, there was no podcasting when this show started, and yeah. That's part of the reason why we you get in a lot of technicalities. Are we the longest running podcast for gaming? I think so, but I don't know.
Are.
But because, well, here's the thing, is that the podcasting as a technology wasn't really around until 2005, 2006. So we got on that pre-iTunes, which there were very few shows that were on iTunes at the same time. I think the only one that is still putting out new shows is Video Game News Radio, but even they're like once a year. I don't think they're regular at this point anymore. I apologize.
They might need some Metamucil.
I've lost sight of a lot of these shows and can't listen to everything regularly. But I think, you know, they're still around. But I think they kind of changed, and you know, I don't think they're as regular. But anyway, I don't want to sound shady because I'm totally not. Like it's impressive that they're even still putting out.
It's just hard to keep
what
track
they do.
Of the whole internet.
It is hard to keep track of the whole internet. It is. But the thing is that when we first started the show, it was a live show on Live365. And then as soon as – and people sometimes forget this, for a little while, the podcast was always meant to be the spinoff. And in the very beginning, we had the OLR to-go edition. So for about a year, we were doing what was designed to be a 20-minute show on all gaming news.
Because that was dial-up back then.
Well, even that – it was a 20-minute show on all gaming news to go with our three-hour Bomani and Music show. Mm-hmm. And then after about a year, we started to realize this to-go thing got us on the news. There's more people listening to this, like 25, like double-digit times the number of people listening to this and are listening to us live. So it was kind of like one of those, maybe podcasting is kind of where we need to shift this other thing to, but we didn't want to lose the magic of what we do live. Mm-hmm. You know, there aren't a lot of podcasts that do what we're doing. It's hard to say now because of Twitch and things like that. It's kind of like, well, actually, yeah, more people are doing the live chatting and all that stuff. But, mm-hmm. you know, there aren't a lot of straight up podcasts out there that take live calls and stuff. So the whole live environment and the fact that we're all in one room, I think, too. And there's been times where it's like, do we really need to all be in one room? But I think it kind of brings a magic to this show that Skype shows don't always have.
It's hard to do it through Skype.
It is. It's very hard. I mean, because there was many months where you were on Skype. There's many months where Loki was on Skype, but that was never the permanent plan. You know, it was always came back to us in one room.
And I'll tell you this. The 3 months I was off the show was fucking hard.
Yeah.
It was really hard.
Yes, SSJ 100 Matt podcasting. It's so much fun. Yes, to that day, that has ruined that phrase for me ever. Every time, like, I'm about to say it, I don't say it because...
Oh, you want to at work in one of my training manuals? I found the word plausible and I changed it, thanks to our chatters. So just it doesn't. This show doesn't only ruin your life. Just putting it out there. But anyway, what else was I going to say with that? Oh yeah, I didn't want to sound like I was shading Skype shows at all. I've done plenty of them of spinoff shows, and I still do. Reading is Fundamentals over Skype.
I guessed it over
and
Skype.
I love it. I love it. But that is a magic for those shows. What we have going here is unique to what we're doing here. And, you know, I just don't, if Skype were to ever be the permanent solution, I think we would be better off just saying, you know what, it's time to end OLR and move on to a different project.
All right. So the next question.
Yep.
What is your motivation to do this show every week, or what goal do you wish to achieve with it? I will go ahead and say right now, it's the big thing I look forward to every week. It's almost like my transition of the week. You know, for me, it's my indicator. It's the culmination of my week, if that makes sense. And then I go and I start my new work week. It really, I don't know, almost adds, and this is apart from just loving gaming and loving who we podcast with, but I'm looking at it more in terms of its position in my life. It's my weekly transition, and without it, I was really off kilter. I mean, I would know my days, you know, but I wouldn't have that one pivoting part in my week that I was looking forward to every week. And so it's kind of hard to put that into words. No, I mean, totally. Apart from just doing the show anyway, because, you know, I love gaming. I love you guys. I like everybody in this room, mostly. Kidding. But it's, I feel kind of empty without it.
No, I hear you loud and clear. Maybe this is something not everybody out there can understand. But, like, the weeks that we aren't doing OLR, I find myself going, oh, it's 6 o'clock. I should be on OLR right now. Or, oh, it's 5:45. It's about time for Bobby to call us. Right? Like, no matter where I am. And I think it's something about, like, it's just become like such a, like, I think church is for some people. I don't want to sound sacrilegious or anything, but I think church is kind of that reset for some people in that way, that equilibrium. And I definitely feel that as well. And I'm not going to lie, the discipline to do this show is hard sometimes. I have wanted to walk away from this show in the past. It's happened. We've all hit that point. But then you find that thing that kind of brings you back. You know, there's that email that I'll tell you what, this fucking changed my life and reminds me why I do OLR. There'll be that email that comes in that says, for me anyway, that says, Rob, I didn't know you could be gay and like video games and that was okay. And like, for me, that's been like a huge motivator in what has, you know, continued, at least for me. And I'm sure, you know, Jamie and Loki have had stuff from their perspectives as well. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest, even recently, like the thought had crossed my mind months ago. I was like, maybe episode 700 is a nice round number to end it on. Maybe kind of like Lost. Remember when that show was on the air? They set the end date like 2 years in the future. Maybe we just need to say this is the day it ends and stick to it. And then that way it's not going to catch anybody off guard. But then something always happens that kind of just makes you go, but like, what the fuck would I do with myself without it? And there is going to come a point in my life where I'm going to have to answer that question. This isn't going to last forever. It is going to end someday. But I'm not ready to answer it yet. And I don't think Jamie is. I don't know. I don't think Matt is either. I don't know. Anything you want to add to that, Matt?
I don't know. Like, if I'm not doing the show on like Sundays, then it's like a few more hours I have to spend with the kids. And plus, this show's like, you know, it's, I don't work in the game industry anymore, so like, I can't talk games to anybody, because like, my coworkers, I literally work in an apartment full of old women. Well, not necessarily old women, just women. I have one, actually, my coworker, he plays Overwatch, so I talk to him, but like, I've got nobody to talk to other than that. So this is like my outlet. Otherwise, I'd be like my son, who's just like, you know, verbal vomit all the time, just like, here's my chain of thought. I'm just going to keep it going. It's like, okay, I can only listen to that so long. But no, I mean, yeah, I do this as long as I can.
And I will go on record saying that I would take a bullet for anybody in this house. On record. Even maybe Sanrio. If she doesn't run first.
That's very, very sweet.
But in general,
Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Well, I'm saying that coming here and being with you guys every week, it's, for me, it's wonderful. So now before I say something else,
yeah,
sappy,
don't make me cry. Next email, please.
What the fuck? I know there's more to this email.
What I mean, yay. No, sorry. Yay, but is it going to be more sap?
There's a few questions.
Okay. All right.
What are your plans for the future of the podcast? I've read that Apple plans to provide podcast analytics that show more information about podcast listeners. What do you think about that?
I got no free time to look at that.
We're not doing it for how many people listen. We're doing it because the ones who do already.
Yeah, I can.
And
tell
we don't mind more people.
I can tell you straight up, I don't know how many people listen to this show. I don't. Can I find it? I think so. I think I know the report I need to run to find how many people listen to the show. I know how many people were listening to the show at one point. I know how many were listening to it at its peak, and I know it came down by quite a bit since the peak, and that's okay, as there's been more stuff and more options out there to listen to.
I don't know, though. I am a little bit curious.
I
I don't know, people are curious, but I don't know where you come from. It's like, you know, you don't want to get in that mindset thinking about how many listeners you have.
Exactly.
Like, it's just like it, because it's always going to eat away. It's like, oh, we only have this many, or, oh, you know, we have this many.
We had 12 at one time.
We had 12 on the first episode.
Don't
worry. Look in chat now. We have 44 people in chat, minus robots and so forth. So, you know what? There's at least, you know, some people would kill to have 30 people give a shit about what they have to say. You know what I mean?
And
so it's just whether it's 30 or it's 30,000, it's not 30,000. I'm grateful that y'all give a shit and that you're here to join in on this. Sorry, Jamie.
I'm in a podcast community on Facebook, just like, you know, people helping each other, talking about equipment. And I see these people with these huge, humongous rigs. And all they're talking about is their analytics. All they're talking about is their numbers. All they're talking about is their funding. And I'm like, where is the love? You know? Are you trying to make a career out of this, or are you doing it because you love it?
Oh, I've said something similar to that in a room full of podcasters, and you would have thought I just, like, did what Sinead O'Connor did on Saturday Night Live and tore up a picture of the Pope. Like, it's a different mindset for different people. But there are, to be fair, there are a lot of podcasters that do it out of the love, but then there's always that thinking about, I mean, the money with a lot of people too, that kind of
do both. Well, yeah,
I
understand, like, if they're doing it as their career and this is my income, yeah, you're going to be thinking about the money. It's like, am I going to be able to afford rent next month? I mean, that's, you know.
But there are more lucrative things to get into other than podcasting.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. The coin is great. And if somebody were to come to OLR and offer us the coin, as long as we still had the freedom to do exactly what we do now, I think we'd be open to that, but I'm not really motivated to go chase it down. I've come to peace with the fact a long time ago, we're not making money off of OLR. This is a labor of love, but it has brought so much in the means of, like, friendship and just the fact that, and I don't know if you guys feel this too, but, like, no matter what fucking city I go to in America, I know somebody there, and it's because of this show.
Yeah,
and I've had
or even in other countries.
Yeah, even in other countries, I've had people say to me, I don't get to do a lot of, like, country traveling a lot, and I have people say to me, Rob, how do you fucking know people everywhere? And I'm like, it's because of the show.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's something coin don't get you.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind doing a few things to help, you know, put a little bit in our coffer, you know, for, you know, like, yeah, repairing our equipment. Or
you can,
like,
give
that
me biddies on Twitch. My door is open, but I don't want to beg for it.
Yeah, I'm not going to. You know, I would rather put out, you know, if I was going to do something, I'd want to put out, like, a product that people would enjoy that enhances their experience with the show, and not just because, you know, we want to go to Disneyland. I mean, I want to go to Disneyland, but
I see some folks in chat talking about Patreon, and is that something that we're shading or whatever? No. I mean,
it's just not our choice.
You need to do what works for you. I personally do not want to go to Patreon because I want to answer to no one with this show other than myself.
Honestly,
and my co-host.
Honestly, though, the Patreon thing, I think it used to be, like, a lot of that was gated. But, I watch a lot of different shows. Most of the shows I watch now, especially on YouTube, yeah, have Patreons. And the way they do it is, like, you know, we're doing this show for free. If you want to support us, yeah, cool. If you don't, that's fine.
And yeah, and that's kind of why I'm taking the approach with Twitch and stuff that I have. And that's totally awesome. Like, again, I'm not shading people that choose to use Patreon. Go for it. That's awesome. I just, again, this is a me thing and my mental block. I feel like when I open it up to someone else financially supporting this show, that said people would have a say in, and even though, you know, we do want to open it up to the listeners and all that stuff, it's still on our terms. Does that make sense? It's still our house.
I will say this, though, that, and maybe it's a discussion for another day, but I was looking at, there are other YouTubers who use Patreon who take no input for what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't do the levels. They do just as a donation thing.
Yeah.
And then may have, like, the occasional prize for a level or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had thought about it. I'm not really, I don't think it would affect what we do, but it wouldn't add to what we do right now.
I will say this, and I am going to shade something here real quick. Okay. I am going to be shady. Get your shade button ready, because I'm going to tell you, and this is just an answer to the question. The thing that has pissed me off, I mean pissed me off, as a video game podcaster more than anything else in my 15 years of doing this, was when I saw that show going to Kickstarter saying they needed $30,000 to do their show. Mm-hmm. And y'all can do your own research if you want to know. And I don't know those people. I don't know that show. But I'm just saying on a principle level to say we need to do a studio or we need to rent a studio space to do this show or we need the money to travel to con or we need $30,000 to do this show. I'm sorry. And, you know, maybe I'm going to get shit for this if this gets back to them. But, oh, well, I'm just going to say from my perspective, as somebody who has never made a dime off this show, who's doing it in the spare room and so this stuff, you don't need $30,000 to do a fucking podcast.
No.
And if you're doing – I mean – I don't know. I think you send the wrong message with that.
Yeah.
I want people to feel empowered that they can do a podcast with a fucking iPhone, Android recorder and enthusiasm if that's all they've got.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I have to say on that.
I agree. Yep. So that's I'll go ahead and wrap up with this email. Sorry if my email contains any mistakes. No, your email was great.
Yeah, look at all the rants you got us on. I mean, props to you, right?
Greetings and thank you for your podcast, Lorcan, from Germany.
Thank you, Lorcan, which is a name I don't hear a lot in the email bag. So very good email tonight.
All right, moving on. We have two left. Hold on. I think I might be reading these out of order. Nope, I'm not. By the way, background music is Great Days, Sega Genesis chiptune cover by Blast Processed. You'll need to download this. So we got a happy 15th music thing.
Oh, we did?
We did.
From
Ranma.
Oh, I didn't. I got it. That means I got to log in the mailbag over here. Yep.
So while you do that,
I will pull that up. Go to the next one and I'll pull that up.
Okay. Hey, OLR. I just wanted to share some of my thoughts about E3. Sony, I wasn't too impressed with Sony's conference since it had a lot of updates from last year. They didn't have much that was really new this time around. Missing in Action, Deep Down, Bloodborne 2, DMC5, Death Stranding gameplay, etc. I did appreciate the fact that Sony showed the games and stuck to it. Microsoft 4K. I was impressed with the Xbox One X somewhat. With a $500 price point, it seems that Microsoft is trying to edge out the competition by throwing out hardware specs to justify their gaming thug. What I thought was interesting was that the systems would have 12 gig of GDDR5 RAM. The 1080 Ti graphics card has 11 gigs and costs around at least $700. As you said in the last episode, Rob, I'm happy that I see 4K a lot more in action, but I don't think I need the Xbox One X to do it. Guess now is a good time to future-proof my PC for 4K gaming.
You and I are in the same mindset. Who's this emailer?
I'll tell you when I finish reading
okay.
It. It's Tristan.
Okay, Tristan. Tristan, you and I are in a very similar mindset. I don't see the need for the Xbox One as much as I do. I think that's a great way to put it. Future-proof my PC from where gaming's going. That's a great way to put it.
To be fair, for a 4K machine, $499, you can't build a 4K machine for $499.
And that's totally, yeah, exactly. You got to make a choice. Anyway.
Nintendo, I didn't get around to seeing their presentation, but I was very impressed. There are two Metroid titles coming out, Metroid Prime 4 and Metroid 2 Return of Samus Remake. A shame it's coming to the 3DS only and not the Switch. It seems that they are listening to their fans, and at least it's something. Rob, I know it's not F-Zero, but hey, we'll take what we can get, haha. I thought the Developer Digital press conference was amazing. It pretty much showed their new upcoming titles while taking pot shots at the gaming industry. It's worth a watch.
I missed the Devolver thing. Did you watch it? I just saw some of the live tweets about it.
They had okay, so I missed it, but it was like a 30-minute show. It was like a fake show making fun of the industry. Then they had this like several hour long pre show that was absolutely annoying. But I mean, neat, I guess, that they're poking fun at shows, but like we all do that, so
yeah. I like the sassy stuff, though. I'll go back. I like shady stuff. That's why I watch Drag
Race.
It's
very much like Tim and Eric Adult Swim kind
of
stuff.
Okay, all right.
My game of the show was Dragon Ball FighterZ. Yes, 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 yes. It pretty much took the Marvel vs. Capcom formula, tweaked it, and made it look so damn good. Everyone that's played it fell in love with it instantly. It's got a lot of nominations from the gaming press and was truly well-deserved. The fact that Arc System Works is behind the development makes me feel confident that they will pull out all the stops to ensure the consumer has their hand on a complete and competent product, unlike Street Fighter V. Shade button.
Sad there's no Battletoads.
In addition, the game is gunning for an Evo slot next year, and I hope it gets it. Oh my god, I would kill.
I'm gagging already. This is great. Did you ever watch any of the gameplay for it? And I'm not really just saying this because I'm on a Dragon Ball kick. I think this game would have been enough to get me back on a Dragon Ball kick. So, and I played the shit show that was, you know, the GT game back in the day and sold it.
SSG100 Matt in chat says, I hope Dragon Ball Fighter Z outsells Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
It could, I actually honestly.
Yeah, it could.
I wouldn't be mad about that at all. I mean, I'll be honest. I saw the next part actually is addressed to me, so I'll do my thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. Dark Sakura, as a fighting game player like myself, what's your take on Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite so far? The story demo that was released left a bad taste in my mouth, but for those who played the E3 build, had something different to say. Looks fun, but the visuals look like ass. They have 3 months to polish it, and I feel that a delay would be best to clean up. It won't happen, but that's how it goes. It could have looked better. I wasn't really too mad at the art style. I didn't hate it. I did have some issues with, like, how are these people back in the same universe again? And I fucking am sick of Ultron. So,
it's because Ultron merged both their universe...
With Sigma?
He merged with Sigma, which merged their two universes. So, like, for example, one of the levels that's in the story demo is Asgard and X's world. It's like they call it X-Guard.
Okay.
So well, it's like that.
I think that the concept behind it is really cool. And my love for fighting games isn't necessarily just because you can fight, but I love the stories that go along with them, and I love the characters in it. I think you can make a fighting game that could be fun, but if the characters aren't as fleshed out, like don't have a story or motivation, then they kind of go below 2D for me. You know what I mean? And so I saw the trailer for it. I thought some of the things were kind of dumb, but I loved the cast of characters I saw so far. You know, especially, you know, Strider Hiryu has been probably one of my mainstays in all the Marvel vs. Capcom games. I blame my husband for that because my husband's favorite game for a long time was Strider. However, I next saw Dragon Ball FighterZ after that, and I was like, ooh, that kind of blows it away. So I will play it. I mean, certainly we're going to have it in my house. It's kind of goes without saying, but I am not as excited about it as I might have been seeing what else is coming out and hearing. So I didn't play the demo. I didn't play it. I did watch though a lot of the movies for it. So I can't really base a judgment on what I haven't played. But just looking side by side, reading reviews, and again, I'm very picky with reviews. I would rather form my own opinion. But I'm still happy about it. I'm still a little bit excited, but I'm more excited for Dragon Ball. So that's my thing on it.
All right.
To answer that question. So thanks.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to finish up the email. What were you saying?
No, go ahead. I have a random thought.
Thanks so much for reading my email. I truly enjoy hearing you guys over the past decade, and congrats on your 15th anniversary of Orange Lounge Radio. Keep up the awesome work, and just know you have a loyal listener from Maryland. Tristan, thank you.
What up, Maryland?
So,
they're in chat. They're still trying to say, oh, is he going to take a bet, you know, that Dragon Ball FighterZ will sell more than Marvel vs. Capcom, where the tank will cost something? Listen, that's over. No more bets. If I can lose enough weight where I can pull that off sexy-like, then sure, why not? But, like, it's going to be
He'll just do it for fun if he loses that much weight.
Just, like, beef up the package. So you're not going to want to see that.
Did you download the file?
I did. So I believe this is an audio message similar to what we got from GameBuoy, except this one came in via the mailbag other than Dropbox. So we will listen to it. And I'm taking a big risk not screening this first, but we'll listen to it now.
Hey, everybody. This is DJ Von Mess. I'm here with Ari Rockefeller and Mako-chan. We're getting together real quick to wish Orange Lounge Radio 15 years of excellence. So it's their 15th anniversary. So figure we get together, jump on Skype, and just say some kind words. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, Mako, you sound pretty happy.
Yeah, I'm grumpy catting it.
Fine. Let's do this. So, Rob, Jamie, Matt, happy anniversary. if it wasn't for you guys, it wouldn't be an Anime Jam session, so I'm thankful for that and all that good stuff. So have a great anniversary and have many, many more.
Anime Jam Session owes its origins to Orange Lens Radio, so what we do is partially your fault.
And we're sorry. No, but not really.
God.
You see, love you guys.
You see what I put up with every week? All right.
That was a very cute message. Thank you very much. Even if Mako Chen didn't sound like she wanted to be there. But I understand. I like that.
Sorry for waking you up.
Yeah, it sounded like we woke her up.
Hearts, you guys.
No, I love. No, that was great. Thank you so much.
And hearts and hearts.
I've said this before. Those types of compliments about what you guys did kind of showed me that we could do our own show and, you know, the Anime Jam Session and so forth. And the other shows that I've heard this from is just, there is no greater compliment, I don't think, to what we do here at OLR than hearing that. So, thank you. Thank you very much for that. So, all right. Is that it for emails tonight?
Stephanie.
All right. Participate at orangelaundry.com. You could always send us in an email for our next show in 2 weeks. Because again, I didn't state this at the beginning of the show, but I've said it a million times before. We will not be here next week. Our reward for 15 years of OLR, a fucking night off. And actually, again, Dark Soccer is going to be at San Francisco Pride. I'm going to be at Chicago Pride. So we are traveling all over over next weekend. But we'll be back in 2 weeks, just in time for the 4th of July weekend. Won't that be fun? All right. Participate at orangelaundry.com if you want to send us an email for that show. We do have some more stories to get through. However, since we are at 9 o'clock here, which means midnight on the East Coast, and we still haven't even got to calls, I do want to ask that we hit the fast forward button on these stories. So we just have three stories here. We're going to just do the bullet points from these stories, please. Loki.
Yeah, so Microsoft is putting out, they're redoing their whole avatar system. And so they've got brand new avatars that are, you know, 4K ready, HDR, all that fun stuff. But what's kind of cool about these, though, is they've really amped up the models in there. So, for example, they're going to have different body types, even some that encompass individuals that might be disabled as well. So, like, some of the ones that are showing off, they had a girl with, you know, an artificial arm. They had someone in a wheelchair. And I got to say, these avatars look fucking awesome, you know, compared to, like, some of the stuff that they had before. That's how I kind of really wish that Nintendo would step up, like the Miis and stuff, to something like this, because honestly, these look fantastic. So props to Microsoft.
Atari is working on something as well, and some of you guys have been shouting this out in chat. This is different from what Dark Soccer talked about earlier. The actual company Atari is making something called an Atari Box. There's a video over at ataribox.com that's teasing a brand new Atari project. Some folks have reached out to Atari, and they have said, yes, it is real. There is actually a partner involved, although they have not said who that partner is. So no idea what this is. I mean, some folks have speculated it could be like an Android-based console, although chances are, whatever the hell it is, it's probably going to have a bunch of Atari games preloaded on it. I guess maybe an evolution of those.
Let's hope it's
flashback.
Not Coleco. Remember the Coleco Chameleon was supposed to use the old Jaguar shells?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. This is going to use Jaguar shells as well.
Let's hope this ends up a little bit better. Jamie, last but not least, you have something for us, I think.
Yeah, it's about Microsoft and our robot overlords. Basically, Microsoft researchers are testing AI and machine learning, and so they've created an AI system that can hit in theory, the maximum score for the Atari 2600 adaption of Ms. Pac-Man. No human has done this, but the machine, our robot overlord, tested by reinforcement learning, has hit the high score. So try that, Billy Mitchell.
Nice. Yeah. So now not only can robots name hamsters, but they can get the high score on Ms. Pac-Man. But can they do both at the same time?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, they can, actually.
Right. The Skype line is open if you want to give us a call. 1-877-GAME-OLR, the old-fashioned way, but I think y'all are on Skype now. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. Just think, when we get the Discord, we'll be able to open it up so we can do group calls, if that's a thing. I don't know if that's a thing we actually want to do.
More like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, right? All right, let's go to the phone. Oh, my God, we've got a million things coming in. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ActDeft.
Hi, ActDeft. What's on your mind, buddy?
Oh, hi.
Hola a todos. First of all, well, congratulations on your 15th year, on your quinceañera.
Thank you very much. My dress is lovely tonight. I'm sorry you couldn't see it.
Well, since it's a quinceañera, I definitely have to do this. So sorry for the bad singing, but yeah.
Yay, we get the quinceañera song. I'm so excited. Yes, please.
Not really the quinceañera, but the mañanitas. So here it goes. Estas son las mañanitas que cantaba el rey David. A los conductores bonitos de All Art es así. Despierta, Rob, despierta, Jamie y Loki también. A los pajaritos cantan, la luna ya se metió.
Rob was dancing.
Yeah. I was doing a little dance. Sorry, and you all are blessed that you couldn't see it.
Darn, you know I should have got video.
Yeah. You know, remember when we were going to do periscopes of certain parts of the show? Let's all be thankful that didn't happen. Thank you very much. That takes guts to sing here on the program, so thank you very much.
I'm well aware.
You're getting some bravos from our chat room, and come on, Nolga says, yes, a las muchachas bonitas. Very well done.
Well, again, I want to thank you all for being there every Sunday, or most Sundays. And I already said on Twitter and Facebook, but you guys have inspired so many people, including me. A year ago, I started my podcast, and you guys were pretty much the inspiration for it, along with other podcasts like Black Wolf, Game Buoy, Travis Donovan, and USL. But again, you guys have inspired so many people to do what you always say, share our voice, and I really want to thank you for that. It's really, really great that you do it for love, and you speak your voice without any sort of restriction, and you're an inspiration for all of us.
I want to thank you very much for that, and thank you for what you do in that. And I know you were voicing in chat earlier that, you know, you're learning that it can take time to build up an audience for your show, but you are still working at it and not letting that go, and, you know, never lose sight of that even on the darkest days, the days you're going up against the Super Bowl and the Oscars, sometimes yeah. Sometimes it's about just kind of like the fact that going through the motions of doing the show and being there and having a good time with your friends, if nothing else, you know?
Yeah, especially that. I have lots of fun with my friends talking, doing stupid stuff, but yeah, it's really that. And if people like that, I'm happy with it.
That's the absolute right attitude to have, ACT-EFT, and I think you'll have much success if you keep that attitude on.
Well, again, thanks.
Thank
for
you.
Everything.
Thank you, ACT-EFT. I really, really appreciate that. I'm going to let you go to try to squeeze in some calls because we're getting a lot tonight. But thank you. Have a good one. And thanks for the song.
Thanks for having me.
Gracias.
De nada.
Bye-bye. All right. Ooh, lighten up tonight. Who would have thought? Let's go to another call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Rob. This is Reggie Nader.
Hey, buddy. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, since this is your 15-year anniversary, I just want to call in and say thank you for doing your show all these years.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, it's, you know, honestly, you know, one of the better shows that I've been listening to. And in effect, between your show, well, I already said this in chat, but I might as well see on the call. It's your show and Bobby's show are... You know what's inspired me to get my original PC, that way I can listen to your shows that way.
I was going to say, I seem to recall in the early days of OLR, you were talking about how your most current system was a Nintendo 64, and now you've come a long way in being able to kind of tell us, like, hey, this game's free, go get it while it's free, and hey, have you played Magic the Gathering 2014 yet? And yeah. It's like, you've come quite the long way yourself from the, I only have a Nintendo 64, am I still a gamer? To which, may I remind you, we said, yes, of course you are.
Yeah, you know, speaking of which, you know, that was, your comment there, you know, brings up my next point. During the transit, just before my transition from console gaming to PC gaming, I remember you constantly talking about Steam and the summer sales and this sale, that sale, and yada, yada, yada. And that was largely, you know, the reason why I said, you know, to hell with replacing my PS3. I might as well, if anything, go get a PC and at least try out the Steam thing, see if it's any good. And, well, you know what happened since then. You know, I'm constantly calling your show and Bobby's show to talk about...
I've created a monster.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, no, I'm a Steam addict and you're my dealer.
Great. That makes me feel real good. No, it does. I mean, the fact that, you know, that shit ain't cheap. And the fact that, like, based on our recommendation, you drop that kind of money on that... It just blows my fucking mind. Like it really does.
Yeah. Well, bear in mind, not to go into the whole deal in tangent because that's not why I called. But in full fairness, yes, I do have a lot of games, but I very, very few, them I pay full price, and in fact, a lot of which I got for free. So it really. Didn't cost me as nearly as much money as it did seem. So, but ultimately my point is, thanks to your recommendation, I'm enjoying the crap out of PC gaming, and there's very, very little incentive for me to go back to console gaming. So I have you to thank for that.
Well, on one side, I want to be thankful that we helped, but at the other hand, I'm not ready to push off console gaming so quickly. But I get it, Raginator. I do. I get it from your perspective. So, thank you. Everybody's got to do what's right for them at the end of the day. So,
Don't get me wrong. There are some console exclusive. Sorry, getting tongue tied.
That's okay.
Yeah, there's a couple console exclusive games that I loved on PS3 and Xbox 360, so on and so forth, that I kind of sort of miss. Like, I know I talked about it a lot, back in the day about Super Stardust HE. I used to play the bejesus out of that, but, that being said, I've given a choice between console gaming and PC gaming. I think for the most part, I'll stick with PC gaming. So, I mean, it's not like I'm hurting for games. So.
There is nothing wrong with that. Any other quick thoughts? I got a lot of calls to get through tonight. So anything else you want to get out?
No, and hopefully, I'll just end with this. Hopefully, you guys will still have plenty more years to come. And I swear to God, Rob, if you quit OR anytime soon, I'm going to reach through the internet and slap the bejesus out of you.
You know what? We've given you almost 700 episodes so far, so...
Not if I do it first.
When we're ready to end this show... We deserve it. Like, I'm not trying to sound like too ego or anything like that, but there is going to come a time, and it's not going to be easy for anybody, but believe me, it will be the hardest for us. But people are going to read into that and be like, oh, he already knows. No, we don't. I'm just saying, maybe it'll be 20 years from now. I don't fucking know, but it's going to end someday. So,
that's a given, but hopefully it won't be anytime soon.
No time soon are we planning it, that's for sure.
I'll let you go, so I'm sure all the people want to call in and say congrats to you guys. But thanks for everything. Thanks for taking my call.
No worries. Thank you, buddy. Take care.
Yep, you too.
All right, bye. All right, let's get to another call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
This is Brad from Pod Culture.
Hi, my friend. It's good to hear from you. What's up?
I'll just call and say congratulations, guys, on 15 years.
Thank you very much. You're not such a child yourself when it comes to podcasting, I know. So that means a lot coming from a peer.
Well, I guess I came into about a year after you guys started.
So, you've been doing this quite a long time yourself.
Oh, no, just listen to you guys. A couple years after that before we actually started.
Gotcha. Anything you wanted to share with listeners tonight, or how have things been going for you?
Well, one, things are going good, but I just want to call and say thanks because probably you guys have been the biggest influence on our show. You know, we're three or four folks sitting around shooting the shit about stuff that we like. So,
it's a fun show that you guys do. So that's quite the compliment to hear.
Ready. Well, I'll let you get some more calls, but congrats, guys.
Well, thank you, Brad. I really appreciate that. And there's a new episode of Pod Culture tomorrow at VOG, right?
Yeah, it's our take on Wonder Woman. So it should be interesting. Three dudes sitting around talking about a superheroine show.
Well, hey, that's okay as long as y'all had great things to say, right? Everybody's
loving
it.
It was great.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, I really need to see it too, but you know, time. All right, thank you, Brad. Take care.
Later.
Bye. I shouldn't hit the hang up button because I should have said something to him about introducing me to Fireball. That's something I'm always going to associate Brad with in our relationship with OLR is how he introduced me to Fireball by getting us a big bottle of it here. But anyway, we got another call, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Yeah, what's up? This is Kaijudo.
Hey, Kaijudo. What's up, my friend?
Not much. First off, happy 15th. I think I've been listening to you guys for maybe 10 years, I think.
Holy shit. Wow. Yeah, I know it's been a while, but damn, it's another to hear it. Thank you, Kaijudo.
Yeah, I think I first found you guys in 2007. I think I was like... I was feeling nostalgic for the G4 network.
Oh,
so,
sure.
I looked up Scott.
Sure.
And finding Scott, I found All Games Radio, and that led me to Bobby Blackwolf and you guys, and I've been listening ever since. So
no, that All Good Games times. Partnership was a win-win for all of us. You know, and like I said earlier in the show, I know things have shifted around. You know, 5 years ago, and we moved over to VOG Network and did our own thing, but. I think our partnership with All Games was so good for both of us. You know, we had an audience we brought to them. They had an audience they brought to us, and it was some fantastic years.
Yeah. And what you guys brought to All Games was great as well, because like not to knock anyone who chooses not to do their show live,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, you know, I know that there's like special situations where, you know, somebody just can't sit there for like 2-3 hours and do a live show.
Sure.
But what I really appreciated about your show was that you guys were live, because I was only looking for live shows to listen to, you know?
Ah, okay. So, I gotcha. Yeah, so I gotcha.
That's what you guys brought to the network. But real quickly, I just wanted to point out to you guys spoke earlier about the PlayStation not playing nice with the other systems.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby Blackwolf, he made a great point on his show. I hope I'm not stealing his thunder. I don't know if he's going to call in.
It's
but
our
he
birthday.
That
you can
maybe,
steal a little thunder.
Huh?
I said, it's our birthday. You can steal a little thunder.
Well, he mentioned that maybe Sony doesn't want to play is because you would need an Xbox Live account to do that Minecraft stuff. Not necessarily with Rocket League or any other games, but with Minecraft, you would need to be connected to Xbox Live.
Do you need that? Do you need that on? But like, I know when I play my PlayStation version of Minecraft now, when I'm online, I don't need that. But that's just because to connect to the other side of it, because it is Minecraft, that would be the universal place. Whereas, okay, I guess I can kind of see where this is going, because like on when it was Final Fantasy XI, everything was through Play Online. But ironic, because Play Online was a Sony venture, and it was like half Sony, and that did show up on 360. However, it was a different time in games. Microsoft was desperate to partner with Square Enix, so they let them get away with merch. So it was a different time. And I think that's important for people to remember when we talk about this whole, well, they've done it before. It was just a very, very different time for Microsoft. So, yeah, I mean, and even through Final Fantasy XIV, you're logging in through the play. It's not Play Online, but it's like a different Square Enix gateway that you're logging in through. So I kind of get it in that regard, that if Xbox Live is to be that gateway, Sony might have some reservations with that.
Yeah, you don't want to catch those Microsoft germs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, makes sense.
It is a little weird. No, I think Bobby has some good insight there. But hopefully they find a way to work around it or something. Or
it's
maybe just connect to Xbox Live
like,
as a guest or
something.
You know,
like some of the mobile games or even like websites do it where you can log in, you know, you can log in, say, like through Minecraft or something.com, or log in with your Xbox Live login or log in with your Nintendo Network login or something like that, you know, where they have multiple options. My worry, though, is are they requiring Xbox Live Gold to play cross-play with?
Oh, that would suck.
Because you have to log in live.
Maybe if you're on Microsoft, yes. But if you're on a tablet, tablets don't fucking have anything like that. Or are you saying that because you'd be logging with Xbox Live, you would have to have it to make that work?
I would hope they'll do that.
I know I have that. I have the tablet version of Minecraft, and you have to. They have that stupid. What is it? Realms or some crap?
Yeah,
they got to be a part of. And
that's how you're playing cross platform, anyways. Is Realms, I think. You're all gonna be logging into the servers.
Yep.
Well,
we'll see what comes of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you guys go, but before I leave, I just want to say, hopefully, that'll allow people from Microsoft to play Rocket League, because I came to play video games and kick some Microsoft fanboy ass. So bring it on.
Bring it on. All right. Take care, my friend.
All right. Later.
Bye. All right. Look, I plan on taking every call, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
What's going on, everybody?
Hey, Rama, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about y'all?
Good. I fucking love that shirt. He's got it's Rama Express, but it's like Panda Express. The little, yes. I know he is. Anyway.
That's great.
What's up, buddy?
It says at the bottom, Cursed Chinese Springs, but I think y'all know what time it is.
Oh, yes, I do. That's right. Holding up a bottle of Nicolau vodka.
That's right.
That's right. Pouring one out. Let's do it.
As I'm pouring these three, Rob, I got to say, you spoke some real truth and some real words about podcasting. You don't know. I have gotten into arguments with people over podcasting, what you got to do, and so forth. And as I said in the chat room, when I wake up one day and say, this ain't fun no more, Anime Jam Session is going to wrap it up. Simple as that.
I think it's the same thing for, I think that would also apply here at OLR. I mean, there may be life things. You know, everybody knows we had a scare 7 or 8 years ago where Jamie was very likely going to move far away. And that was scary because it was like, are we going to be able to keep doing OLR? I mean,
I fought against it.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously here we are. We're still doing this, celebrating 15 years. So that didn't pan out. But it may happen someday. Life takes us to weird fucking places. So you never know.
Well, Rob, I do remember the first time I came up to Fonime, you did say when Loki was going to have his firstborn, y'all was going to wrap the show up. And as you can see, it's still going.
Did I? That seems so ridiculous that I said that now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I can say this because we're old. I was young and stupid then.
Aren't we all? Speaking of young and stupid.
And I'm old and stupid now.
One?
Oh, there's one shot down. Yes, sir. Chug, chug, there's two. I'm sorry. This is horrible radio, but I'm loving it. I'm watching the video.
This goes along to say, get over stupid. I'm up here doing shots in my brand new gaming chair. Booze is going all over the place. Mako is going to scream at me for spilling the booze. And
I don't give a fuck. Drink that shot.
Exactly.
There it is, number three.
Woo! Let me finish the call with this. Here's to you. Here's to me. The best of friends will ever be. If we should ever happen to disagree, well, fuck you. And here's to me.
I'm giving you a high five right up against Misty can verify. You got a high five right there up against the monitor right now. Yep. Thank you, my friend. I hope to see you soon, Rama.
Dude, you're going to see me in October.
I know. I got to figure out. I still don't have the official invite to said win, but we'll figure all that out.
Oh, we will, because Mako will be coming up to record us old farts playing DDR.
Can't wait. All right. Yeah. All right, my friend. I'm going to let you go.
Yeah. Stay fabulous, Rob.
Thank you. You too. Well, stay fabulous. All right. Bye.
Old farts playing DDR makes me tempted to somehow tag along.
You get to take a train on out there. All right, we got one more coming on. Let's see. Hello. Oh, it's connecting. It's loading. I don't know. If you can hear me, hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's me.
Hey, Dark Tetsuya. What's up, my friend?
Oh, hi.
Not a whole lot. You know, I just wanted to call in for the 15th anniversary.
I can think of no better way to do this, because I don't know if you are the last caller tonight. I'll see if anything else pops in, but I know you were there episode one, Dark Tetsuya, and there's only about 11 other people who can say that. So I appreciate your support tremendously over the years, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's on your mind?
I don't know. I suppose I could talk Nintendo a little bit.
Go for it.
Yeah, I think I'm really excited for some of the games they got coming out, like that Mario Odyssey.
Hell yeah, when he threw that hat at the T-Rex.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I love that theme song. That is...
Oh yeah, that's great. And I love that they tied it to Pauline, who's kind of, in some ways, is kind of forgotten in the Marioverse.
Did you see all the costumes? All the costumes tie back to, like, obscure costumes that were in other games.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like, there's just so many obscure references that, like, Nintendo fanboys just are fucking eating up on a silver fucking platter, just like they did the Wii U. And it's great.
You know, you remember back when Jimmy Fallon had Reggie and Shigeru on?
Yes, when we were like, oh, are they trying to hide the loading time? Yes, I remember that. I do, because we looked like assholes. Yeah.
So Miyamoto was wearing this t-shirt of Mario in a samurai costume.
Oh, get out. So do you think even all the way back then, he was fucking teasing something in Mario Odyssey?
Possibly, yeah. That's what I think.
Oh, that my God.
Might be a suit we don't know about.
I didn't even think about that. But there's GIFs everywhere where you could see that, because everybody took that thumbs down into the thumbs up thing and then going at reversing it and all that stuff. A GIF is everywhere.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Well, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Mario Odyssey. ActDeft in chat says, then again, people made a fuzz about Mexican Mario. Ugh. Good thing my people actually didn't find that offensive at all. Well, you know, it's the internet. Someone's going to be offended about something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Tsui, anything else you want to get out or share with our listeners tonight before we let you go?
No, I figure I'll send you guys my regards on behalf of Gamer Girl.
I appreciate that, and I hope she's doing well.
Yes.
Let me ask this question to end on tonight. Dr. Tsuya, just let's pretend nobody else is listening right now and it's just us having a conversation, because I have a serious question to ask you. Has it gotten better since episode one?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Wait, phew, good. Then that means we're doing something right. All right. Take care, my friend. I'm going to let you go to try to squeeze in more calls.
You too. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Yep.
All right, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. I think that was all the calls I see popping up, but I'm in a good mood tonight, so I'll pretty much take all the calls till everybody's done. But thank you so much for the calls that we've received so far. Really appreciate it. Can feel the love tonight on our 15th anniversary. Let me check real quick with Loki, as I usually do at this point in the show, while we see if any other calls pop on. Do we have any last minute stories?
No.
No?
No.
All right, I guess we did cover most everything anyway. And it is about 9:30, so at this point, I think, no, as much, Ask Orange Lounge, I'll have to roll that over to episode 700. Because we are at 9:30, it is getting late, and, you know, we do have to work tomorrow, unfortunately, and Misty's got a train to catch, so we do have to wrap up tonight. But I want to thank you guys so much again for your support, and I'm not going to keep elaborating, because I will make myself fucking cry, and I'm not here to do that tonight, so I'm just going to say just a big general thank you so much for all of it, for all of this.
We're not crying, you're crying.
That's right, we're not crying, you're crying. I'm crying because it's going to be a while before I see Misty again, but I want to thank you for being here, Misty, and celebrating our 15th anniversary with us, and plus your support over the years. You've been, you know, I know you haven't been there since episode one like Dark Tetsuya, but damn it, you might as well have been. I think if you knew about it then, you probably would have been. I really appreciate that. Probably. Well,
although I did get in before 100, so I'm still pretty damn good.
Thank you. Yeah, still to say you were OLR in the double digits is still pretty good. In the pre-podcast days, even. I mean, the highest we ever got in the pre-podcast days was, we did have an episode where 100 people were listening, and it was because we had that Akira Yamaoka track from DDR.
Yeah.
That was the night that was actually, in some ways, and I...
Didn't we have live listener caps?
We did. We had live listener caps, and we hit the cap on Live 365 that night with that, and that was a whole other reason why we had to change our plan. But just a walk down memory lane real quick. That night, in some ways, was really transformative for the show, because there was people that stuck around for that, and then... There was more that came after that. There was the DDR Ultramix 4 previews that we got to do here on OLR.
Max 2 stuff. Then we did the Max 2 remixes.
I don't think it was... Yeah, it was. It was remix or something. But I remember Ultramix 4 specifically. You know, that the fact that we had people at Konami, namely Stillwind, who's no longer with us, as we've talked about a few years ago when he passed, had faith in our show to be able to do that, and just... That got me a vivid foot on DDR Freak. And as a longtime DDR fan, I can't tell you what that means. I really can't.
Well, I vouched for you.
I know. That's, yeah, you were. You
well, I was a moderator.
Yeah, you were. You were. I know. It was funny.
It was funny. I can still log into DDR Freak forums.
Do you know what's funny is Jason tonight was asking me a question for his intro, and I didn't know the answer. And do you know where he found the answer?
DDR Freak.
He went into the archives because he... This show started in June of 2002, so he was able to look up what was the DDR Freak headline in June of 2002. So I just thought that was hilarious and awesome at the same time. So anyway, Misty, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to tangent off of your goodbye, but you should be fucking used to tangents by now.
Well, yeah.
All right. Well, Misty, anything you want to say to our listeners before we sign off tonight?
With the fuckery that's going on with my train out of town, I'm glad I decided to sign up for the prepaid adult drink option on the flight I'm connecting to.
Amen. Amen. I'm hoping to get a drink on my flight to Chicago as well, so it'll be a lot of fun. All right. Well, here it is. You know, I feel like we're going to be celebrating a landmark again in 9 weeks when we hit 700 episodes, and maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll be able to throw something together for that. That's going to be the week before Labor Day, but for now, you know, again, 15 years. It's a long fucking time. Loki, any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
I'm not playing the Garfield game because I already uninstalled it because it was...
Breaking our pact, man.
It's crap. It's so much crap, but you got to play it just to try it so you can say, wow, this is crap.
I will.
It probably won't last long on my phone either because of the forced AR.
World number one on Garfield Go. Just wait.
Hot and cold in your house. You have to walk around with your AR... and, like, find some treasure shit. No, I'm not doing
oh,
that.
Fuck.
Why is the treasure in the litter box?
Because litter box.
It's the meme. You're in my heart. I peed you a heart.
I almost don't want you to have a final thought tonight, but I suppose with the 15th birthday, I'm legally obligated to. So, hearts. Dark Sakura.
Well, apart from the reject false icons, especially in government... if you can't be good at it.
Amen. Thanks as always for your support, everybody. I say it every week. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, blah, 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 tell a friend, blah, 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 review on iTunes, but they really do go an awful long way. And just thanks for your support. It means the world. I don't know what my Sunday nights would look like without Orange Lounge Radio. But I'm happy it's here, and I'm happy it exists, and I'm happy you all give a fuck. I really am.
I was reading what Dark Tetsuya put.
Oh, I thought you were laughing at me.
The final thought, flamethrowers in video games are either really good or really bad.
But usually good.
Usually good. Have fun playing video games, you guys. We'll see you next time here at Orange Lounge Radio. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Remember, no show next week, so you got to make this one last.
Hearts, not farts.
We'll see you for year 16. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.